B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Okay, what's the best thing I could tell you this morning to start the show? It's the last day of February. How about that? We are closer and closer to spring weather, closer and closer to spring golf. And Jamie's broken his microphone, and we've just gotten started on this Monday. Jamie's going to look like an 80s pop star today.
Why are you manhandling it, Jamie?
Jamie keeps manhandling the mic, Bob. You tell him not
User
to manhandle it.
I think he's trying to make up for something else. I'm not really sure, but yeah.
Jamie's going to be like an 80s. Why don't you do it like an 80s pop star today? Why
yeah.
don't you, Jamie,
hold the mic.
Hold the mic.
Like come on, you're an 80s. Swing like it around.
Come on, Jamie. Whoa. Pretend you're Adam Levine or something.
That sounds exhausting. I hold stuff all day. The page can't be put down. I'm sick of holding stuff.
He holds stuff all day, Pat.
I'll be back.
It's like low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit. There is plenty of happiness as we start today's show. And I know you felt it, too, by the way. Bradford White Water Heaters here for the pro, bringing you the 6 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show. You felt it. You felt it Friday night. You felt it yesterday afternoon. Your 76ers are one of the hottest stories in sports. Star-studded. Absolute fire. There are so many different ways to review the exact same story and so many different angles to take it from. But right now, we all see different things. We all see things that we love about this picture. And honestly, if you're one of those wet blankets from social media this weekend, I don't have time for you today. I really don't. I saw some people out there with critique of this, a critique of that. This team's playing really, really well. It's very, very exciting, and there are a lot of good things. And guess what? It's 2 games. I would think it would even get better. But what James Harden brings to the story is so many positive different angles that we can take, so many different ideas. And I can tell you this, I can't remember the last time that I watched 2 Sixers games beginning to end. Now, one of them I was out in a bar, so I didn't control the television. But to not flip channels, to sit through an entire game, 2 games in a row, it's special, Bob. It's special.
Yeah, it's special because of what they did. I mean, they're scoring points and all of that. But I think what's most special, or what people don't even realize, is you're watching guys have so much fun on the basketball court. I mean, Joel Embiid, you can just tell this is the most fun he's ever had. James Harden loves playing with Joel Embiid. Tyrese Maxey is just absorbing it all and running away with it and being the kid that he is and doing what he does on the court, which comes so naturally. Yeah, Tobias Harris hasn't played well the first 2 games, but you know he's feeling it. It'll be frustrating for him until he figures it all out, but the winning aspect of it and having a guy like James Harden on the floor, I haven't felt like this about a six. And you know me, I'm the guy that would come in today and start nitpicking. That's who I am, John. You and I were texting about it yesterday. I don't have much to nitpick about at all.
No, there isn't.
This might be the best I've felt about a Sixers team since Moses Malone came to the Sixers when I was a little kid. And I'm not kidding.
I know Joel Embiid was very, very excited after Friday night's game. Listen to the unmitigated joy.
What do you think of your new teammates?
Man, you should have seen my face every single time, especially in the fourth. You know, the first 3 quarters, obviously, making plays for all of us. That was probably the most wide open I've ever been in my career. I mean, I had a lot of easy baskets. I used to have to work for everything. But in the fourth quarter, the shot-making ability, you know, shot creation, should have seen my face. I was just like, never had this. You know, nothing close to it. So hopefully that continues. And winning. Even play our best, but I think we can be way better than that.
I think Jamie's face might have been, I didn't get to see it, but Jamie, I'm thinking your face might have been even a wider smile than Joel Embiid's.
Yeah, I felt like, I described it yesterday, I felt like a 13-year-old sitting on the couch eating ice cream and just like giggling. I was like, this team is so good. This is ridiculous. He's a franchise-changing player. You know, he's what kind of we hoped Ben Simmons might be one day. And we just got a better player than what we were hoping for. So we got a proven commodity that changed everything. There's a confidence. There's an energy. There's a bounce to this team now.
that's, frankly, if I'm another team, pretty terrifying. They're real, real deal. I mean, this is the biggest championship contending Sixers team I've ever seen in my life.
Patrick?
What kind of ice cream, Jam?
It was cookie dough.
Okay.
I knew you distracted him with the ice cream.
Tillamook.
Tillamook?
They sell it in the freezer section.
I know what you're talking about.
It's a little creamy for ice creams.
Yeah.
It's good.
Sounds very uppity.
No, not really. I had a coupon.
Tillamook, we have to get it. You only get it at Whole Foods.
Give Jamie a break. I spent like $60 this weekend on ice cream. So,
oh, my gosh.
I had to get ready for the party, John. The party of James Harden.
Oh, you did?
Boy, was it a party. I thought Ben Simmons, you know, court vision was really, really up there, and it is. James Harden, though, is at, like, another level. I don't know if I just ignored it or I didn't notice it before. It popped out of neon to me, to use the line from Jamie. Like, his ability to just throw guys wide open was incredible. And I was like, Jamie, I'm sitting there giddy on the couch, like, oh my God, he's ours.
Well, it's amazing. You always watch your own player differently than you watch the player for the opposition.
Sure.
So you're always going to admire your own player more. You're going to find things about them you like more.
Yeah, Pat makes a great point. Maybe they're equal passers. Okay, let's just say they are. But the factor that James Harden has that obviously Ben Simmons doesn't is he's a threat to do something else. Ben Simmons isn't a threat to do anything else except pass the basketball. With James Harden, he's a threat to shoot deep. He's a threat to drive to the basket. He's a threat to draw a foul. Everything offensively about him leads to being a threat scoring, and then comes the passing. He is a tremendous passer. And Jamie and I were talking about it a little bit. You know what he does, which is so kind of outdated? How many bounce passes does he throw at the right time?
It's amazing.
I mean, perfect bounce passes. And, you know, it's almost a lost art for him. And he certainly has it. He's one of the most fun. And look, I kept telling you guys about that effort that he had against the Sixers years ago. Straight dribble drive shoot, you know, that he was doing. He had 50 points against the Sixers. You see it. Guys don't know how to stop him. Doris Burke said it yesterday. He drives at your chest as a defender. And then he can go one way, the other, stop, go, whatever it may be. You just don't know how to guard him.
By the way, Doris Burke said something three times yesterday.
A real point guard?
Did you hear it too?
Bob and I were talking about
it. It was one of my topics.
I'm sorry. I mean, you know, it's serious. No, but it's the truth. It's what she said it once in pregame. She said it once in the first quarter, and I caught her again in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That I wonder about that as far as...
One of my favorite plays from
like
the weekend.
She said it like as this... Almost let it... She said it so commonly that it's like, wow.
It's talked about around the league.
One of my favorite plays from the weekend was a simple play Friday night against Minnesota. Harden drew Cat on him defensively. He baited Cat out to the three-point line. Adjacent to him was Tyrese Maxey, guarded by D'Angelo Russell. And he dribble drove a little bit, enough to draw D'Angelo Russell collapsing on him. And just a quick kick to Maxey and off like a bullet on the baseline right to the basket. And I just went, damn, that's what the threat of a shot does to an offense.
I got to tell you, you can have Karl Anthony Towns any day of the week on your team and I'll beat you. You can have him any day of the week. To me, he's missing there's something he's missing in his makeup.
I think he needs teammates, too. I think he's a real talent. I don't think it's shining through. I agree with you, but I don't think it's shining through because they just don't have...
Is there a toughness to him, do you believe?
He's a finesse player. Always has been. I saw him in high school and all. Always has kind of been a finesse player. Nothing against that.
But
he needs to learn to maybe get a strongman game a little bit more.
Hey, the new Parks experience is almost here. There's going to be one amazing app with Sportsbook and Casino. An improved user experience, sleek new design, plus PayPal functionality. Coming soon, you got to be 21. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. B-Hawk joins us in Philadelphia. And B-Hawk, I'm warning you, if you're coming with negativity, I may have a very itchy trigger finger this morning.
Listen, I'm always ready, but I'll be real with it. I mean, people on the station...
What do you mean being real with it? What are you talking about?
Look, I'm talking about facts, brother. This is why I love what I'm seeing. And I'm loving what we're seeing, but I can't wait. I'm not being negative, but I can't wait for the stretch after Saturday. Cavs, Heat, Bulls, Nets.
Fair. No, that's fair.
I'm excited. They know me on the station when I call in. When the team needs to be ripped, I'm raging. But I love what we're seeing. Tobias got to step up, but it feels good to have some offensive firepower. But as a real guard driving at the chest, like Pat was saying, it's hard to defend that. Even if you put your hands up, you're making some type of contact. You're on your back foot. It's beautiful to see. Tobias, wake up. Man, this is a beautiful feeling. So, I think it might be time to get that jersey.
So you're talking about the Cavs, Heat, Bulls, Nets stretch.
Yes,
and I think that's fair. I mean, that's four teams right there. Two of them currently ahead of you. That's very fair. I mean, that you're going to want to see it more and see how they come through that stretch. And I think a 3-1 mark, Pat, in a stretch of Cavs, Heat, Bulls, Nets, and 3 of the 4 at home. I think going 3 out of 4 in that stretch should be sort of expected.
No, 5-0.
There's only 4 games.
5-0.
They're so good, they're going to win another one in there.
They're going to throw in a bonus win?
So convincingly that they're going to give them another bonus win. No, in all seriousness, Beehawks' assessment is, I think, dead on accurate. I sat there excited, but when I took a step back, I said, okay, well, you're beating the Knicks. And it's not last year's Knicks, it's this year's Knicks.
How many times have you seen this team lose in the past 2 years, though, to teams that they shouldn't have lost to?
And I did think about that. And they were doing that early on in the season where they would lose to the Bradley Beal-less Wizards. And
right.
You're like, what the hell is going on? So to your point, yeah, you gotta beat who's up next. But
for the first two games, though, I mean,
I'm pumped,
it was
man.
Unbelievable.
Like that's going to translate to any opponent. I just don't know what you do as an opposition's defense if you have to pick your poison between Embiid and Harden. You have to double both, and then somebody's going to be open at all times.
Bob brought it up the minute the trade was made. And the question that everybody had was what's going to happen with Tobias and what's going to happen with Matisse Thybulle? And I texted Bob yesterday during the game, and Bob, you saw exactly what Matisse Thybulle has a chance to become with this offense, and I think he knew what he's doing. He's there, be around the hoop, and they're going to find you, and he has some easy baskets.
Yeah, it was funny. At halftime yesterday, I had to run out real quick to do something, so I was listening to the halftime, Tom McGinnis, and he interviewed Doc, and he said, we watched 15 different plays from Friday night where Matisse Thybulle's guy wasn't even paying attention to him, and Matisse went and stood still as opposed to taking advantage of it. He said, so we're going to work on that. He needs to learn how to cut when his man doesn't have his eyes on him. And yesterday, I thought ABC did a really good job, and Doris Burke talked about it, how Matisse Thybulle was cutting without the ball. And when guys would turn their head on him, just get to the basket. You have capable passers, obviously in Harden, obviously in Embiid. Maxey's a capable passer. Tobias Harris knows the game. If you're going to be wide open, they're going to find you. And I think we saw some of that yesterday. And I think that's going to be the recipe for him for the rest of the year.
And Jamie, it's the first time we mentioned Maxey. And Tyrese Maxey.
You mean
looks,
the team's third option now?
Looks shot out of a cannon. And I know you talked about it Friday night. I mean, I saw it on your social media during the game that, I mean, he looked so fast because he's moving well off the ball.
Yeah, he's playing off ball, and I think James Harden is tattooing in his brain, if you catch it, go. He looks like one of the quickest guys in the league playing off ball. I think this is how Tyrese Maxey was meant to play. He was thrust into a point guard spot, but I think he's more of a two guard, especially showing with his improved shooting this year. But, man, when he gets the ball in his hands, you saw the one in transition yesterday. Holy hell. He flew by like Speedy Gonzalez. He missed the shot, but I think Doris or whoever said, look at that pressure he puts on a defense. He's fast.
He's faster. Think about this. He's faster dribbling the basketball than a lot of guys are on their natural run. So think about that. If we get in a foot race and we're about even speed, if I have to dribble a basketball, you're going to kill me. But he is faster, and I'm talking about guards in the league, faster with dribbling the basketball than guys are normal speed. They can't catch him.
Reminder, they canceled Speedy Gonzalez.
Oh, he's canceled?
Yeah, he got canceled.
Oh, I missed that.
Cancel culture got to Speedy Gonzalez.
I missed that memo.
Yeah, he's canceled.
Oh,
you can't watch Speedy Gonzalez anymore.
Ah.
It's considered culturally inappropriate.
Huh.
Very funny cartoons, but not good enough today. Patrick, when you see a guy like Tyrese Maxey, small guy making a big impact compared to some of these trees out there, it's got to be inspiring to you.
It is for my small.
Sort of like you in the radio. It's sort of like you in radio. You make that kind of big impact.
I won't really compare myself to Tyrese. Now I'm more the TJ McConnell. But he was shot out of a cannon yesterday. It's amazing what the ability of James Harden is doing for Tyrese, but also for Matisse. Like you guys were talking about earlier. I mean, Matisse is never going to create his own shot, so you have to kind of throw it open to him. And the fact that James Harden is making him that offense, like I just canceled Matisse out. I was like, he's not going to give you anything. Don't even expect it. He's so good. He's throwing him open and getting, you know, Tyrese Maxey 17 to 20 points. And it's not like we haven't seen Tyrese do that. We have, but you're just seeing how wide open he is because of the threat of James Harden and Joel Embiid. It's fun.
That graphic yesterday was pretty amazing, that he's the second most improved scoring player in the NBA this year.
Yeah, like Tyrese nine Maxey. A game, right?
9.2, I believe it was, going into yesterday.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
There was a play yesterday that really caught my eye. It was a small little thing, but it's something that is bigger and bigger. The Knicks score a basket. Embiid inbounds the ball to Harden. Harden looks up and throws a length of the court pass to Thibault, who gets a dunk. Off of a made basket. The Knicks didn't get back. Harden saw it right away. Thibault took advantage of it, just threw it out there, grabs it, dunk. And they show Thibodeau on the sideline saying, like, what the hell's going on here? But it wasn't that the Nets didn't hustle back or anything like that. It was just that Harden saw it and Thibault did it. It's a little thing, but it just makes you open your eyes that much bigger if you're an opponent of the Sixers.
What about when Maxey thinks he gets fouled, is pleading his case with the official.
The official
tells him to get the hell out of my face. He hustles down and steals the basketball in no stride. It's unbelievable. His speed was incredible yesterday.
Yeah,
fun to watch.
Yeah, and his shooting is what's impressed me the most.
Sure.
Like, the quickness is unbelievable. But he had a shot clock winding down yesterday and did a little mini Harden step back and just drilled it in somebody's face. And I went, my goodness, this kid's become a real threat from the outside.
And the cool thing about that, after the game, he said that he had a chance to do that in the first half. I know exactly the shot you're talking about, kind of like a step to the right kind of three.
Yeah.
He said, I had a chance to do it in the first half, but I didn't. And I think he said Harden said something to him, like, shoot the ball.
Yeah.
And then he does it in the second half and bangs it.
I've seen enough of Furkan Korkmaz for a lifetime.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm out.
And I hate feeding Furkan Korkmaz.
I'd rather just play Isaiah
Joe.
It's
like yesterday, I swear, they were trying to feed him the basketball. I don't know if that's by design to get him rolling.
Well, he's really struggling. He's at like 29-30% from three this year.
He's terrible.
The only chance you have is if he gets hot. So, yeah, they might have been trying to feed him for that purpose. I'd rather just give those minutes to Isaiah Joe at this point.
Do you have a simple question, real quick, in this first segment where we've been celebrating the Sixers in this fine weekend? Do you believe the deadline that the owners are pushing, that today is the deadline that if they do not come to an agreement today, by the time we go to bed tonight, that they will not play 162 games? I cry bullsheesh. I say they can still have 162 game season. I think the owners are full of it. I don't believe them at all. I think this is a false deadline that they will end up amending.
Yeah, usually you throw stuff out there like that, you know, scare the players. They're not going to get their full pay if they don't go 162, if they don't, you know, meet the requirements of the owners right now. Yeah, I mean, with doubleheaders, you could fit it in, and players saying, "Oh, we're not playing doubleheaders."
They won't do it because they can't have the dual admission doubleheaders, so the owners don't get the revenue. So they say they will not do it. I think it's sheesh. Don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't buy anything they say.
Pat, you don't buy it either?
Not at all.
So we're unanimous. We all believe this is a false talking point from the owners.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from Jason Stark, and it was from Rob Manfred from about 3 weeks ago. It said, I consider missing games a disastrous outcome for this industry.
And it is.
And now they're sitting here threatening that if we don't get a deal in 23 hours, we're going to miss games. If they get a deal tomorrow or the next day, they're playing 162.
Correct. Hey, Jeff in D.C. gets up early with us this morning on the Fanatic. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, gentlemen. I got to be honest, man. I did not know how good James Harden was. I did not know how good he was. Like, I'm not an expert in anything. I don't call myself a basketball expert. I'm more of a football and baseball guy. I like the Sixers when they're good. I'm that guy. But I had no idea how good this guy was. I mean, I go back to, like, you know, Doc and Jordan McGinnis and all those guys. He might be the most talented Sixer I've ever seen.
If you're talking about complete game, I think I may agree with you.
I think I tweeted this at Jamie yesterday. He might be a cross between Mo Cheeks and Andrew Toney on steroids. Like, that's the only comparison I can think of.
That's a really good,
Jeff. That's pretty good.
That's a good comparison, Jeff. That is a good one. Look, Jeff, you fall into the same boat I do. The Sixers have never been top two for me as a Philly sports fan. The Eagles and the Phillies have always been my top two. And honestly, I text Bob and a couple of my other basketball buddies more during a Sixers game than any other sport. I don't feel the need during a football game or otherwise to go like to somebody, okay, what did I just see there? Did I really see that? I'm texting Bob going, okay, tell me something here. Can you explain this to me? Because I'm amazed. My jaw drops watching him play the game.
You know, here's a big thing of it. James Harden, and Jeff said it, James Harden we've seen on other teams, didn't know how good he was. This may be the perfect pairing for both he and Joel Embiid. I don't think Joel Embiid might not, we might be seeing the best of Joel Embiid to come.
And we keep saying that.
We do, but James Harden hasn't ever had anybody like Joel Embiid. We talked about the Chris Pauls and the Dwight Howards. This may be the best James Harden you'll ever see also. Think about that. Two of the superstars in the league might be able to play their best basketball ever coming up because they're paired with each other.
And I think that their giddiness tells you they believe that too.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're smiling, they're laughing, they're energized. I said it yesterday, James Harden's the best Sixers guard I've ever seen put on the jersey. And
it's only two games, but still.
But that's not,
I understand what you're saying.
That's not a hot take at all. I feel supremely confident in saying that. And that's not a disrespect to Allen Iverson. I love Allen Iverson.
Oh, come on.
But yeah, James Harden is one of the best guards I've ever seen play the game.
I heard someone trying to argue with Mike the other day that, come on, you're forgetting how great Iverson was. I'm like, you're on the nostalgia tour if you think James Harden and Iverson are the same
player. Yeah, he's absurdly good.
Iverson's spectacular in his own
right. Yeah.
It's not a disservice to Iverson
no.
to compliment
No,
James
he's the
Harden.
Best guard I've ever seen.
They brought it up on the broadcast yesterday about how much fun they're having. And they're like, this isn't the James Harden we saw in Brooklyn. And it's, you know, we know about Joel Embiid's infectious personality and how much teammates love playing with him because of the fact he's fun on the court and whatnot. But for James Harden coming in, after being in a situation in Brooklyn, then coming in and playing with this guy, like you saw it yesterday on the I don't remember what basket it was, but they started doing like the holster moves and whatnot. Like
yeah.
They're having a blast because they know that they both cannot be stopped.
I believe that's a fake ass slap that Joel
is that what it is?
I think that's what it is.
He's
it
doing
is.
Like sure, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not hip.
Did you dive deep into that?
I did actually.
Yeah.
I
think that's
cool.
What it is too.
Yeah, they're doing like a
hey, the veteran buyout market day. This Sixers team could actually get better, and I still think it has to. We'll get to that next. Thanks for hanging out with us, and boy, what a weekend it was. Join us all day long here at John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Did you know that in an emergency on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, dial *11, stay inside your vehicle, and the PA Turnpike Safety Patrol, sponsored by Geico, will be there to help. It's a good thing to know. You're on the Turnpike, *11, the Pennsylvania Turnpike, stay inside your vehicle, and the Turnpike Safety Patrol will be there to help you. That is a great, great thing. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic, and we talked about all the sort of like the elephant in the room. We talked about the coverage that we all watched all weekend long and for different things of what's been going on over in the Ukraine. And I've got to tell you, the bravery, the badassery, the way those people are fighting to defend their homeland is maybe the most inspiring thing I maybe remember ever seeing, because it's so in your face because of social media and video being able to get to us. It may be the most inspiring thing I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, there's some serious badassery going on over there. It's pretty inspiring. I wish them all the best because they're kicking ass so far in terms of defending their land. And I hope all Ukrainians everywhere know that the world is most likely behind you, except for probably some outliers. Kick ass.
It really is. It's inspiring. But Bob, I said it to my wife yesterday. There's things in life where you say to yourself, and I've always thought this about first responders. I've always thought this about military members, that I'm not, maybe I was just not wired enough to be strong enough or to be tough enough to be able to think about taking on a challenge like that. And I always admire that so much. I watch these people because these are just common people. These are just the people that are the truck drivers.
Yeah.
The you know, school teachers. They were talking about the one guy on the news yesterday. There was this, the local school teacher who like runs the school. I guess he's like, we like one of our principals with the submachine gun giving people cover to be able to go and get to stores.
Yeah.
And stuff like that to make sure nobody's going to bother him. And I'm saying to myself, that is a bravery and everything that I am not sure I possess, but I know I admire the hell out of it.
Yeah, you know, and the people doing what they are doing is just extraordinary. And following, now, you know, Smolensky, do you call him a leader? I mean, he was an actor who became become president or whatever. But he had a line this weekend, and Jamie brought it up earlier, and we all loved it, that when the U.S. offered to get him out of there, he said, I need ammunition. I don't need a ride.
No,
like,
exactly.
That makes the hair on your neck stand up, and that makes you want to fight not only for yourself and family, but for your country also. So leadership, it shows you. Little thing like that, leadership shows you just how much it means.
It's incredible. Pat, it's been wild pictures. The visuals. And I guess it's because we don't get to see a lot of this stuff in previous, you know, world issues like this. We haven't had it as much where people can get the word out. Here's what's happening. Here's the video. And to be able to see this, and I'm surprised that we're getting so much visually.
Yeah, it's been depressing, yet what's the word?
Inspiring.
Inspiring. Yeah. At the same time, it also makes me really appreciative to be where I'm from.
Sure.
Yeah, I've never, other than 9/11, I've never had an issue of have to worry about this sort of thing, and it makes me very appreciative to just be fortunate to be born in America, but good luck to everybody out there.
My wife says it all the time, coming to this country at 10, becoming a citizen at 14, that she saw tanks roll through her streets. She saw one of her family homes be seized by the government. She saw, you know, she saw the country she loved just get overturned and just descend into mayhem as a young girl. And she said so many times she will comment in America going, Americans don't realize what we got, because a lot of people grew up like I did and grew up like we all did. And she grew up in mayhem and then sees it. So if you have a chance today to say a little prayer or there are some donations through that you can do through legitimate organizations and everything. Just make sure if you are donating anything, make sure it's through a legitimate organization, because there are jackals out there right now that are trying to steal your money and everything in the name of the Ukraine. Make sure you're doing it through what is approved through the government that knows the funds are getting there, that you make sure you're donating to a good site. Sean in Levittown joins us. And Sean, you've been smiling all weekend long. And why is that?
Oh, man, dude. James Harden, man. I wasn't able to watch the Timberwolves game on Friday, but watching the game yesterday, from start to finish, I couldn't help but have a big smile. I mean, just the way they performed, you know. And Tyrese Maxey looked like he had a fire lit under him.
He does. He's so exciting right now to watch. And as Jamie, you were saying, is like, hopefully somebody's turned that into a meme right away. The you know, Maxey right underneath the basket.
I think I saw it circulating yesterday, at least as a GIF. I mean, I think Doris said it on the broadcast yesterday. There's not a happier player in the NBA to be around. And that's kind of the vibes this team's putting off now, because Joe always had that too. Maxey and him had it. And now Harden looks like he's just giddy to be here with them. I think Harden knows this is, outside of the 16 games he played in Brooklyn with Kyrie and Durant, the most talented team he's ever played on. And I think they're, I think they know they're real deal contenders. They're heavyweights, and you can see it. They're wearing it on their bodies.
And Pat, I still want to get you and Tyrese to a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Like you and Tyrese at the movies.
He was out in Minnesota for Batman. I know that's DC, but,
he already saw it.
No, I'm saying like...
Oh, he didn't get to see it with you. Right.
He had plans.
He was busy working. I get that.
I was at PJ's in Newtown Square Friday night. And it was shoulder to shoulder by tip off of the game. And I'd say every third person in the building minimum had some piece of Sixer gear on.
How about that?
On Friday night.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
That was all the phone calls on Friday with all my friends. You know, what are you doing for game tonight? Like, that's what you say for an Eagles game. You don't say that for a Friday night
regular
Sixers
season
game. Yeah.
NBA.
And then yesterday, same thing. You know, we're going to do something. We went shopping yesterday morning, and Donna's like, come on, let's get some snacks for the game. And it's like an Eagles game. And that's the event that James Harden is causing right now with this team. It's an event. It's not just... And look, let's not forget about this. James Harden hadn't played in almost a month. Worried about fatness and weight. He comes out and plays 39 and 35 minutes. And did you guys see any tired?
No.
He said, he said after the game, he's like, yeah, I'm in pretty good shape, but I can be better. And I was like, oh, you just said you could be better, and you're already so much better than Ben Simmons, who never uttered those words. Oh, I love you.
There's another part of this story, though, that really struck me yesterday was I could see it yesterday morning, Bob, in what you're talking about. I could see it. I went to, didn't make my Wegmans run. I was feeling a little tired in the weekend, and so I just run down to the Giant, and it was packed. And people grabbing stuff. I'm seeing the chips and the, you know, and drinks and all this kind of food. People were getting out to get home in time for the game. And I think pro sports can notice something about this. The afternoon games on Sunday are spectacular.
Yeah, they're great.
I love it.
I mean, it's the NFL knows. The NFL is the Giant. And the NFL plays at 1 o'clock on Sundays. And the NFL plays at 4:30 or 4:20 or 4:05 on Sundays. And these other sports play, and let's play 8:30 at night. It's like, they don't get it. I don't understand it.
I enjoyed yesterday's 1 o'clock tip-off. It was.
I like the 3:30s better, but I'm fine with 1.
Yeah,
I'm not going to complain.
I'm not a big 3:30 guy.
So I like the 3:30.
I like because I got my rest of my day ahead of me.
With all the fouls yesterday, it was almost like an NFL game. It almost went 3 hours.
It was unbelievable.
I mean, they were starting the fourth quarter. Usually those games, even though it's a national game, I know from being there all the time, usually a game with the Sixers will go 2:15, 2:20, right? You start at 7, it's usually done by like 9:20. Yesterday, 1 o'clock game, they were starting the fourth quarter at like 3:25.
It was unbelievable. Yeah, it was long.
There were so many damn fouls in that game.
The clock is ticking. Roster, I still believe in all the giddiness that we've got this morning, that this roster still needs work. And it's veteran buyout market day. And how optimistic are you that Daryl Morey has another bullet in the gun? I mean, is that there's something that can be done? Because in all the excitement of beating the Timberwolves and the Knicks, this roster still needs work. This roster still needs something. I still think they could use another shooter as I watch Korkmaz get considerable minutes, which doesn't interest me at all. And they still need another big. It's time. Don't tell me Willie Cauley-Stein is going to be it, because I do not believe in all the giddiness of the weekend. I still do not believe they're deep enough to.
Yeah, Cauley-Stein didn't even see the floor this weekend, did he?
He saw it on Friday night. Friday night he did. Yesterday he didn't.
He saw it in garbage time.
Yeah,
he stinks.
Yeah, I don't think he's the answer. They're trying to figure out, like, this Paul Millsap thing. Okay, you're going to throw a 6'7" guy out there to be your big man. Can you play a different style of game with a Harden or a Maxi out there where you're just spreading the floor and running? You know, I guess that's what their thinking is now, because they haven't tried to force-feed Willie Cauley-Stein in there. I agree with you. Korkmaz, not only is he not making shots, he's missing horribly.
Terribly.
And Willie Green, unless he's getting open where he can run to a spot, catch, and shoot, he's ineffective anywhere else. Niang, I think, will benefit from this roster. now. I think he'll be okay, but he still looks out of shape to me.
Yeah.
And the bench, really, Shake Milton, I think they've kind of given up on a little bit.
Shake had a follow-up basket yesterday. I was very excited.
Yeah, off of a missed layup. Exactly. He followed, yeah.
Am I on mescaline, or did you just say Willie Green?
He meant Danny Green.
Willie Green?
Danny Green. He did say Willie Green, but you were talking to me. Yeah, there you go. I'd be fine with Willie Green getting some minutes.
Willie Green looks to be in spectacular shape coaching those Pelicans.
By the way, how many assistant coaches do the Sixers have?
1,200.
It's freaking ridiculous. Why does an NBA team need that many coaches?
Yeah, it's trainers. It's you have a trainer, you'll have a stretch guy, you have a nutritionist, you have all of these guys are all dressed in the same sweat, so it looks like they have 1,000. Yeah.
Stanky. It might have been. That's the same one they wore on Friday night.
It's great to see Dave Yeager back on the bench. After what he battled through and all that stuff. I was glad ABC made mention of it yesterday, too.
Hey, and the linchpin, the Big Four, how do you stack up against them?
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, to your point, John, they might not have the top eight, when it comes to a playoff rotation in the NBA. But I can certainly make the case that they have the best four in the East. I wanted to compare their four against the other four because basically your top five guys are more or less what win you a title. You need some nice role players, but you need a five-man rotation that's solid. So Embiid, Harden, Maxey, and Tobias is obviously their big four. The Nets, Durant, Kyrie, Simmons, their fourth spot, you can make the case it's Seth Curry. You can make the case maybe it's Joe Harris. It's one of those two guys. I'll let you guys pick whoever you want. I think the Sixers are better in terms of just the four. That's all we're talking about. Not the better team, not the better rotation, none of that. Just top four players.
Yeah, I'll be anxious to see how Ben Simmons fits.
Four.
If he ever gets on the court.
I think, Jamie, you're right with four.
Yeah.
But I totally disagree with you on winning a title. I think it's got to be six, maybe seven. I know that Pat Riley was a believer that it was six. That's six. As long as you're six. I mean, if your six was better than everybody's, you could win an NBA championship, and you didn't really have to worry as much about it. But I don't know. Four is fine. Four's not winning you. Not even get you out of the
East. But look at the Nets five. It's maybe Seth Curry or maybe Joe Harris.
Maybe Seth Curry?
Yeah,
Seth Curry would be
fourth or fifth.
Seth Curry would be good enough to be in your four, though.
No, he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. He's not better than Tyrese at this point.
Yeah, but what are you looking? Yeah. Put it this way: Would you sub him? Everybody's down on Tobias Harris over these two games. Would you sub him out for Tobias, knowing he's just a killer shooter with this? These guys on the floor.
With this lineup, maybe.
I don't want to write off Tobias, but...
Not at all.
At all. It's too early. No. I mean, people are going nuts, but...
Forget the six.
I am concerned.
The four, I think, is better than the Nets.
Yeah,
four is fine. I don't think four wins you a damn thing.
Well, that's another debate.
We saw it last year in the postseason. You couldn't win 4-on-5. You couldn't.
Well, because the five was an anchor. It wasn't even a positive.
Okay, well, who's your five?
For the Sixers?
Matisse Thybul.
Yeah, it probably has to be Matisse.
Well, then I think you're you have an elite defender who's not an offensive player.
But he's just as good a defender as anybody in the Nets five.
Oh, yeah, defender.
But the point of this exercise is the four. You're making it the 5-6 thing.
I got you.
I'm not focused on that. Celtics, Jason Tatum, Brown, and then it's Derek White and Marcus Smart. Sixers blow that out of the water.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, the Bulls. DeRozan, LaVine, we'll see how he is healthy, returning. Vucevic, and then technically their next leading scorer is Kobe White, but you can make the case it's Lonzo Ball.
Right, right.
I'll give you guys choice. I think the Sixers are better.
Sixers blow it away.
Yeah.
Yes.
Vucevic can't hold
the Heat.
Candle.
I think the Heat have a strong case.
They have a strong case.
Butler, Bam. I would say Tyler Hero is their sixth man, and then Kyle Lowry. But you can also make the case there that Victor Oladipo is about to return next week for them. That's pretty strong.
That is strong.
But I think the Sixers have the better four.
Yeah, I would have no problem putting money on that. Yeah,
the Bucks, Giannis, Drew, Middleton, and Bobby Portis.
See, I think that four is very strong.
It's strong, yeah.
That's probably your closest
so far.
That's the
closest four.
And then finally, the Cavs. You have Garland, LeVert, Sexton, and Jared Allen. Sixers blow that away.
There you go. That four is good. I mean, if you go four, yeah. I just don't think four. I mean, it's great to do the four.
But these four are probably going to get you 90 a night come playoff time.
Oh, at least. The three of them have almost got 90.
It's amazing.
My dad and I used to always do that when I was a little kid, 3 for 90. Because it's a rarity that you get three players that combine for 90 points. And whenever it would happen, we'd bring it to each other's attention. And these guys, Maxey, Harden, and Embiid, have almost done it 2 games in a row.
Yeah.
Pat, did you follow the advice we talked about on Friday? Did you bet the over in both games?
I didn't. Let's just say...
What did you do good this weekend?
I can't believe that.
Let's just say Tobias Harris cost me quite a bit of money. Because I was making one-game parlays that were hinging on Tobias Harris.
Why?
All Tobias Harris needed to do, John, and this has been a lock all season,
right,
is combined rebounds, points, and assists over 20. And normally that's very doable, Ryan, for him. I mean, and yeah, he came within one yesterday. And
the over on the Sixers, I chickened out yesterday. I texted Bob because Bob's always before I pull the trigger on my Park Sportsbook app, I go, Bob, I'm feeling weird about the 8 number, laying the 8. So I just bet the over.
I laid it.
And then I bet the over points, rebounds, assists for Harden, over points, rebounds, assists for Joel. And the numbers are just rolling. So the over in the Sixers games are going to be an interesting watch because Vegas and these sports books are going to have to adjust.
I remember you saying that after the fact. After I made the one game parlay, second quarter, I'm like, damn, you know, John was right.
Occasionally. You've said that twice in like 48 hours.
It doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good to you.
I was shocked to see that on Twitter. You saying that, John, you're right.
Well, it was that stupid jersey thing. Sixer jersey thing.
Yeah, it was.
Get rid of the abysmal circle, the circle of stars, which is crappy jersey.
I'm actually wearing that shirt now.
It's terrible. And then the awful, the Ben Simmons jersey should never be worn again. The Boathouse Row should never be worn again.
I mean,
it grew on me a little bit.
It hasn't.
Yeah, but never wear it again.
Well, I mean, they haven't worn it this year. I think the Sixers,
1 year edition.
The Sixers knew pretty quickly that was a bust.
Terrible. Absolutely awful. You're letting an Australian design your jerseys. About Philadelphia. Let your marketing department understand what Philadelphians want. So a little bit more.
The Boathouse is a good attempt.
No, in fairness, that was New Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was New Philadelphia, which is different. Bob's heard a damning sentence. What? Bob, you heard people cursing or what?
We talked about it a little bit, but I wanted to get a little deeper into it. Doris Burke saying yesterday at the beginning of the game that now Joel Embiid has a real point guard to play with.
It was incredible.
I was like, what? And I rewound it. And Donna's like, what are you talking about? I said, listen to what she just said. She's like, you love Doris Burke. I said, I do. And now I love her even more. But it wasn't just a throwaway sentence of now he has a real point guard to play with. That comes from a lot of talk. That comes from Doris Burke talking to people around the NBA, talking to the 76ers, knowing things about what was going on. Look, I'm not here to crap on Ben Simmons. When he was here and playing well, he didn't have a bigger supporter than me. I liked what he did and the way he could play. But her saying that yesterday was really damning. You don't throw out a sentence like that. I'm convinced that she didn't just throw out, oh, yeah, now he has a real point guard to play with, without Ben Simmons not being right at the top of her mind while she's saying it.
Did you hear Embiid Friday night after the game? He had one cut. It was probably like 25 seconds. I think
I played it at the beginning of the show.
No, I think it was a different cut. I think. Yeah. And he had like 9 subtle digs at Simmons.
We played it at the beginning of the show.
That was the same cut?
Yes.
At the beginning of the show, Jamie
was really, really good.
His mic was in Jamie's defense.
We'll play
it again.
But to Bob's point and Doris's point, in 46 games without Embiid this season, or without Harden this season, Embiid's baskets were assisted 49.4% of the time. In the 2 games with Harden, 82.4% of Joel Embiid's buckets have been assisted on. That man just entered a whole new world.
A dazzling place he never knew.
Damn right.
No one to tell us no or where to go.
I don't know the rest of the lines. I can't keep
Neither going. Do I.
Or if I'm only dreaming.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Are you dreaming?
Reality. Yeah, it's reality.
Is it reality?
Yeah.
It is.
James Harden's a Sixer, and
it's so exciting to see so many people energized by a performance like this. It's incredible. But Doris, Bob, I think sometimes people get too honest on a broadcast and they let something slip. She let that slip. Because she, by the way, she repeated it in some form two more times.
Yeah.
It's like a real point guard.
I didn't know how to take it, but I did take it as, wow, she knows stuff.
Yes.
And for her to say that, and look, a question was thrown to her, kind of, or it was all set up, and she
it
had
the
it.
The opening chat.
She had it in her head to say, now that Joel Embiid's playing with a real point guard. You usually don't do that in NBA circles because, look, Doris Burke has to do everybody's game. Doris Burke wants people to like her. And while she does her analysis correctly, you know, you still want to stay in that circle a little bit. Those guys aren't there to put down people like that.
What was good about Doris yesterday, one thing I caught on her, and I was like, I yelled at my television going, excuse me. And then Doris goes, can I play devil's advocate here just to make sure we're honest? Giannis Antetokounmpo is taking care of both ends of the court because they were talking about Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I caught that conversation.
And she literally said, well, let me insert something here. Giannis is playing both ends just like Joel Embiid. And bringing that up.
Yeah, they're both top five MVP and defensive player of the year.
I didn't understand. What's Tyrone's problem with Doris? Tyrone goes, Doris is, I got to put the mute on. I think Doris is excellent.
Oh, I love Doris Burke.
I kind of fall on this a little bit too. Her knowledge is second to none. Her voice at times drives me nuts.
Okay.
For me, it's literally just a voice thing. It's not.
Okay, so it's a voice.
What's coming out of it, it's a voice thing. For me, at times, I'm like, oh my God, this is nails on a chalkboard. But she's grown on me a lot more than recently.
Yeah, well, you're with me. It's sort of like Gus. It's a voice thing. It's an inflection thing. Like Gus Johnson.
Yeah.
If Gus Johnson's information is fantastic, his excitement level is what just makes me go, ah.
Yeah. She had stock in Jericho Sims because for the first...
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, for the first quarter, it was nothing but the Jericho Sims show from Doris.
And he had no points, but they were like, boy.
He had a bunch of rebounds.
Yeah, he did.
A bunch of rebounds, and they threw... How many fouls did they throw at Embiid and Harden? I think 17. I think 17 or 18 fouls at the two of them. It's unbelievable.
We're going to get into this a little bit later. That's going to be such a huge factor.
The games are going to be late, though. Just be prepared. It's going to feel like Phillies games. It's going to take a little while to play. Coming up, a startling number out of Las Vegas that makes me question what my eyes saw. All coming up. Thanks for hanging out with us. It is a fantastic, fun week as we get ready for James Harden's home debut on Wednesday. You're only going to hear it one place, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys, I love betting my favorite sports and finding new player props or game props. What's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge is combining prop bets from multiple games and now even multiple sports. It's called Same Game Parlay Plus, and they're only on FanDuel. Combine NBA player props you love with your favorite NHL scores for a chance at an even bigger payout. Think of it. You could have two of your favorite players from different sports going on the same night. So how do you keep in touch with them? Well, you bet them. You link it up, and it's going to be perfect on FanDuel. Check out their popular Same Game Parlay section where you can join the bets other users are jumping on. Last month, over 14,000 customers won a total of $1.1 million during the Milwaukee at L.A. game. Are you new to FanDuel? Well, then sign up with promo code Bob to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just use promo code Bob so they know I sent you. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks so much for hanging out with the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Our 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it at parxcasino.com/PA and use promo code Fanatic. The new exciting changes to the Parx Sportsbook app are coming soon, so stay tuned for that. Get involved and get in with us. What a weekend it was. James Harden's debut games. Just so excited, so much excitement. So much positive energy around it. It's awesome because now, too, it's the last day of February. And I'm very happy to see February go by the wayside.
Yeah, it's February fun. Sucks. February's the stale beer in a six-pack. It's just like, it just doesn't. Yeah, it's the Tuesday of months.
Yes, I hate Tuesday.
Yeah, it's just not good. I'm not a huge February fan.
Just glad to see it gone. March just always feels like you might get the 70-degree day. You could still get snow, but you might get the 70-degree day.
You're heading in the right direction.
You're heading in that right direction.
Winter sucks.
Winter does suck.
I like winter.
Winter sucks.
Makes me appreciate summer even more.
No, that's ridiculous. You don't need winter to appreciate.
You don't need winter to
nice
appreciate.
Weather.
You don't need to appreciate.
You can't tell me what to do.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it
too. Yeah, but you don't need bad weather to appreciate good weather.
Give me San Diego every day of the year. I'll be happy as a clam.
Well, go. They don't have football teams.
8,000 miles away. Go.
I mean, hey, there is a startling number out of Las Vegas that I don't understand. And it makes me question what my eyes see. So I had to reach out to some buddies in Vegas who handicap for a living to find out what I'm seeing. I watched Jalen Hurts play. Only 11 quarterbacks have better 2022 MVP odds than Jalen Hurts. I'm going to name the quarterback, and I want you all to be in agreement that they are better than Jalen Hurts. Okay, so everybody quickly on this one. Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, okay.
Josh Allen.
We would probably skip the first five.
Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Justin Herbert?
Uh-huh.
Let me see here. Kyler Murray?
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson?
Correct.
I'll stop you when you...
Matt Stafford?
Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll stop you when somebody's debatable.
Russell Wilson?
Yeah, keep going. We'll
Derek
stop
Carr?
You.
Okay, there it is. That's the 11 quarterbacks. So there are 11 quarterbacks.
Him?
They're 12. How about this? He's either tied or every other quarterback's behind him in MVP odds. That's weird to me.
Even your boy?
It's weird to me.
Jimmy G, if he ends up on a Steelers or Bucks team?
Right now. No, this is right now. The odds just came out for all the quarterbacks for MVP. All the MVP odds, excuse me.
Well, then even if he's quarterback in the Niners, they're probably in better shape than the Eagles are.
There it is. Well, they don't have him on the list yet because they don't know what team he'll be on. Then this came from Ruben Frank, who does tremendous work but hates me. Guess how many teams have given up on a 23-year-old playoff quarterback? In NFL history. If you answered none, you're correct. There have been 26 quarterbacks in NFL history who've taken a team to the playoffs before their 24th birthday. Most recently, Jalen Hurts and Mac Jones this past season. Not one of the previous 24 got traded, got benched, or lost their job before the start of the next season. 12th in quarterback odds for MVP. And not one quarterback in his situation has ever been usurped, replaced.
Well, let's hope for change.
Or are we just critical bastards? And we're just ultra critical and we're not willing to give this guy. I'm trying to play devil's advocate because I'm one of those people who very much thinks that I know what the ending of the movie is of Jalen Hurts. But it's clear that there are some others that saw what they saw, and maybe distance gives them better perspective.
Well, it's a unique situation. You don't draft a quarterback in the second round to be your starter. Like, how often does it really happen? You know, like, if you're looking for a quarterback to be your starter, you're going to get the guy in the first round. You're going to make a big trade or whatever. But you're talking age here, John. It just doesn't. It's an oddity. It's an oddity that they took a guy in the second round. It was an oddity that they had to plug him in his first year at the last part of the season to be the starter because your franchise quarterback lost it.
Had a mental break.
Yeah, and then it's an oddity that you started him 16 games his third year when in fact he was a second round pick and most people labeled him as a third round talent at best. So it's an oddity. I'd love to see the numbers if Ruben Frank did this. Of how many teams draft second or third round quarterbacks and they become your starter within a year. I'll bet you that doesn't happen all that often.
Other than Russell Wilson, I can't think of one.
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr. Russell Wilson.
Was Carr thrown in right At the beginning of his career?
He didn't start his first year, Derek Carr, I don't think.
I'd have to look.
I don't know.
But, I mean, he still started.
But it's an oddity, you know?
It is odd. But it's incredible to me. But, Pat, it makes me wonder if we're just.
No, we're not. No, the Vegas thing, I don't put any stock into. I don't put any stock into the Vegas thing at all because, as you often point out, Vegas knows that Eagles fans will bet on the Eagles. So
correct.
If Eagles fans see this and they go, wow, those odds are pretty good. And when you factor in his offensive line and you factor in the quote, growth he'll make in year three, which really is year two because you only started four games in year one and then the Devontae Smith, I think they're just trying to sucker Eagles fans to get their money. Yeah,
it could be, and that very well might be.
The Ruben Frank stat doesn't mean a damn thing to me because I watched my eyes and I watched him not be able to read a defense. A defense simply push him to the left and not be able to hit receivers, and him not be able to hit guys in stride for the most part, other than the perfectly thrown ball every once in a while. So, no, I don't think we're being ridiculous.
But I don't think Eagles fans are actually going to bet Jalen Hurts MVP odds. I don't think that's for them at all.
Who do you think it's for?
I don't know. A gambler? That sees a kid on a really good team around him that maybe if he took that next step could potentially, you know, if he's a playoff quarterback again and they get hot or whatever, catch lightning in a bottle, who knows? But I don't think many Eagles fans are going to be betting Jalen Hurts MVP odds. Do you know anybody?
I don't know anybody who's going to put money on it.
No, but with that said, the teams.
But that's who they're trying to lure in.
The teams that are usually.
Oh, that's a mistake.
You know, first, second, third place. They usually have the MVP on their team, correct?
Yes.
Usually for the most part.
Yes.
Well, the Eagles had 9 wins. No one expected it for in his first year as a full-blown starter. So I don't think it's going to happen, but I think some Eagles fans could convince themselves that him being where he is slotted here, 12th, which isn't dead last and isn't really the bottom, it's kind of, you know, it's up at the top there a little bit.
I think he's just a product of being on a good team and the quarterback of good team, and that's what his slot is.
1,000% agree with you in that, but I do think that Vegas is trying to lure in some Eagles fans.
But, Kirk Cousins is behind him. I don't like Kirk Cousins a lot, but Kirk Cousins is probably a better quarterback than
Well, I think he's
Hurts.
A better quarterback. I don't know if he's going to get...
And there's other guys like him, like Jimmy G, we've said would be an upgrade over Jalen
Hurts. And they don't have Jimmy G yet because they just don't know. The thing is, he's still on property of the Niners, but they won't put a line on him, I guess, because they don't know if he's going to be there.
Did you think
he's most likely going to be in Indianapolis or Tampa.
Did you say Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert.
Is one of them or no?
Yeah. No, Justin Herbert is 7th.
Okay, all right.
I think he's 7th in the MVP
odds. I'm trying to figure out who is behind
Herbert. Who's behind him?
Yeah.
Well, you know the list that I gave you as far as who is ahead of him. Think of it this way. There's nobody with the Commanders. There's nobody with the
Tua
with the Giants.
Tua, Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield.
And remember, if they don't know what team he's going to be on, they take him out. Garoppolo's not no odds because they don't know what team he's going to be on. They haven't picked one yet.
I might put Mills from the Texans over Jalen Hurts because he has no one to work with. Like, that dude had no weapons whatsoever and put up pretty decent numbers. Now, with that being said, this is me talking out of both sides.
No, I don't think that's...
I didn't watch him play, and, you know, the stats will, you know, indicate that Jalen Hurts could make that ascent, and I watched him play, and I'd say he didn't pass the eye test. So I'm talking on both sides of my mouth there, but...
By the way, Derek Carr did start his rookie year.
First game?
They were 3-13. He started all 16 games. So he was... on a bad product, so you know.
Where was he drafted?
Second round.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's rare when you see like a first, you know, where. But what Jalen did the last four, right?
Yeah.
Of his rookie year, and then all 17 of his second year plus the playoff game. So not bad. It's just a number that jumped out at me.
Yeah, I guess it kind of makes sense the more we talked it out there.
But I will tell you this is so I know RJ Bell from pregame.com said. Jalen Hurts is thought of differently in the gambling community than he is in Philadelphia.
He's thought that
outside of Philadelphia, there are people who maybe don't watch him as closely who think that the ceiling is higher than we do.
I was about to say, so all the people that don't watch him like Philadelphia.
They don't think that
them.
But remember though, these guys that set lines, they do.
They analyze everything and believe
his ceiling is better than we do.
That's adorable. Philadelphia watches every second of this guy play. And we've all pretty much come to the conclusion he's not it.
From a gambling aspect,
Vegas.
He doesn't get blown out. He is competitive. He keeps you in
games. Oh, he does. He absolutely.
I can't recall too many times where they got blown out outside the Dallas game.
The Dallas game's the only one I think of.
Yeah, but for the most part, he's going to keep you in games.
But did he keep them in games, or was it the running game?
He's the quarterback of the team that keeps them in games. Okay, I don't, that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
I
got it. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. That is fair.
That's a good label.
He's the quarterback of the teams that keeps you hemming and
keeps you competitive.
Around.
Yeah. Look, and he could be better next year, sure. I mean, I'd be shocked if he wasn't better than he was this year, next year.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be worse.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you say you think he'll be better, like in completion percentage, passing yards per game, all those things, you think they all go up ceiling-wise?
I don't know if it'll all come out in every number, but yeah, I think some things will grow on. I think he'll be better than he was this year, whether it's good enough or not. I'm leaning towards no, but I do think another year of playing, of 1 year of being a starter, without a doubt, I think the next year you're going to come back
marginal
and know more things.
At least, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Marginal at best.
I think very, very marginal.
What do you think marginal at best? I think marginal at least. Do you think marginal at best?
No, a little bit in the middle. Like I think he will be better. I don't think it's going to be this jump that will really make all that much of a difference. Yeah, like, how many touchdowns did he have last year?
I think it was 29 combined.
Okay. Yeah, 19 passes.
So if he had 29 combined, I could see him having 32. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that big of a jump, but it is technically better.
If my quarterback's not throwing for more than 20 touchdowns, I got a problem.
And as Anthony points out, the Vegas guys care about the numbers, strictly numbers, and his rushing capabilities factor big in his favor.
And that's what keeps him competitive.
That's what gives
him a chance to make it in this league.
Hey, let Invisible Fence Brand show you how your pets can stay out of a crate safely while you're not at home. Visit InvisibleFence.com to learn more. Invisible Fence Brand, surround your pets with care. I hope Hunter Brody is listening as his dog rampaged through his house. Can you imagine having one of those puppy cams and you're at work and let's take a look at the puppy cam. And the puppy has broken out of the crate and is tearing up your living room.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, let the big dog hunt.
tearing up the cushions.
Yeah.
Tearing up the pillows. Oh, my
God. Pets, we love them, right?
Oh, I love them.
By the way, Jeff Crowley tweets in, Dak Prescott, third rounder, started right away.
But he did.
But I agree, rare.
He was fourth rounder.
He's fourth round, buddy.
Oh.
I think he's fourth round.
Yeah, he might be right.
Yeah, I think he's a fourth. Yeah, it was. I think he was a Saturday pick. I can't wait for the draft. Cannot wait for the draft in Las Vegas. We'll look forward to seeing you out there. In Cooney's Corner, offensive numbers, well, they were just terrific.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
What a great word, Bob. Yeah, terrific.
I was a little surprised yesterday that my timeline was getting hit up so much with Tobias Harris hate. Is he on the milk carton yet and all that stuff? Oh, I'm not here to defend. He hasn't fit in the first two games yet. He hit a couple jumpers late yesterday, which I think will carry over and give him some confidence moving forward. But my response was, they averaged 129 points in the first two games. I don't think we need to complain about one person's offensive games, but just how good was their offense? Let's look at these two games a little closer. Sixers are shooting 50% from the floor as a team in the first two games, 80 for 160. Three-point field goals, 40%, 29 for 72. They've gone to the free throw line 80 times in the first two games. 80
That's
times,
incredible.
And they've made 69, 86%.
Nice.
Nice, very nice. But here's my favorite stat of all of them.
Nice.
They have 80 field goals in the first two games with James Harden. They have assists on 58 of them, which is 73%. 73% of the time they're getting assists. He just makes everybody better. I think everybody else is also looking to pass the ball. And fast break points, you know, I love the way the Sixers used to get out and run. And we talked about it this year. That's one of the reasons we thought their offense stalled, was because you weren't getting a lot of easy baskets. Because you don't have Ben Simmons rebounding and just going. James Harden supplies that. They've outscored the last two games 41-15 on fast break points.
That's incredible.
That's just really good stuff. And you're talking about easy baskets, too. How many easy baskets did we see?
Well, Matisse had quite a few.
He had quite a few backdoor. Thibault gets thrown out to him. Dunks, backdoor cuts for Thibault. Easy, easy baskets there. And that's all we're looking for. Yesterday was kind of the typical game that I wanted out of Matisse Thibault. 11 points, 7 rebounds, backdoor cuts. Took a couple of outside shots, but you don't really need him to do that. Now, if you want to look at Tobias Harris, yeah, he's struggling finding things, and he's doing it himself also. There was a couple shots that he should have taken, specifically yesterday, that he didn't. And I don't know why that is.
I was asking you about that yesterday morning before the game. I was asking you about Tobias rewatching the game Saturday. What that it's like when James Harden gets the ball to Maxey, he knows it's like sort of stop and pop. Get it to him and shoot. Tobias seems hesitant, and then he wants to dribble.
Yeah.
Just dribble it around.
Well, that's his game. His game is the mid-range, kind of take his guy off the dribble. It is. So you're trying to fit a slow game into a fast pace. And so, yeah, there's going to be some bumps there. But, okay, and I understand he makes all this money. I don't care about the money he makes when the team's on the floor. I don't care about that. You averaged 129 points in your first two games, and he went for, what, 12-6?
And you know he's going to get better.
Yeah, he'll hit his shots.
You know he is.
He was getting a ton of open looks. He'll start knocking them down. Does anybody here know what Ben Simmons' career high in assists was in his tenure in Philadelphia, including the playoffs?
16.
12? 13.
I was going to say 13.
It was 15. James Harden beat that in his second game here. James Harden, and here's another one. It sounds ridiculous when you say it. James Harden eclipsed Ben Simmons' three-point total.
In the first quarter of yesterday, right?
He tied it in the first game it in the first quarter of yesterday.
I love that. On Friday night when somebody tweeted out, Ben Simmons, career with the Sixers, 5 3-pointers. James Harden tonight, 5 3-pointers. That's incredible.
The change that he's brought with him is unbelievable.
So much fun to watch. And in making people better. I mean, he defines
that.
Yeah,
he really is.
Like you with us.
Maxey.
Very similar.
Not debatable. Yeah, you saw it with Maxey. You saw it with Thibault. I mean, really, the only person you didn't see it with was Tobias. And
that'll come, right?
I was poking fun at the Tobias situation yesterday. I mean, he cost me money. But after the game, you know, I took a step back and was like, man, but if they get him going. You know, even okay, so if they don't get him going, they're putting up 120 points.
Yeah. 129.
If they do get him, well, I'm factoring in if they play a good team here, Johnny, but
right, I got
if
you.
They do get him going, then look out, you know? I mean, I have no problem if their big three is James Harden, Embiid, and Maxey. If they can add a big four, though, and throw Tobias in there, like, I don't care about the contract and all that, but man, that's going to be a scary lineup.
Good job, Bob.
If he takes the advice from Harden that Maxey has and that he's trying to just catch the ball and shoot. Let it rip.
Yes.
Let's go. Here you go. I think Tobias will be fine. But it is funny. You know, so somebody yesterday, what about Tobias being a sixth man? I think you really...
What?
Like, oh my God, you just scored 133 and 125 points.
Who would even be the starting four?
I don't know.
Why are so many blown? The thing is, though, is what I'll never understand, and it is, it's part of social media, is the idea of... you're watching that this weekend, and you're on social media crapping on, like, man, this is terrible. This is terrible. Look at Tobias. He's terrible. I'm asking you questions yesterday about Tobias because I'm not understanding it. But there's no doubt in my mind he's going to go off and have a 28-point game, 26-point game, 24-point game coming up. There's no doubt in my mind that's going to happen.
Yeah, probably.
And it'll all come together.
Yeah, he's a really good shooter. And there's going to be nights where it's falling for him. And
right.
James Harden has an unbelievable basketball IQ. In the middle of a game, he'll be drilling saying, you know what, we need Tobias, not just for tonight, but for the rest of the season. I got to get him open. Doc's got to call a play a quarter. A play a quarter for Tobias Harris. That's four plays that you run. He gets fouled or gets a basket on some of them. He's going to get you double-digit scoring most nights.
I think that was the plan yesterday in the second quarter and some of the third with Furkan Korkmaz. That they were trying to get James Harden and then were trying to get Korkmaz into it.
His only hope is if he catches fire.
The scary part is there's 2 years and $10 million left on that deal.
Doc loves him.
I don't know if he does love him. I think he likes the fact that he can get hot and he doesn't have anyone else. I think if he had another three-point shooter off the bench, then Furkan would be sitting there.
Well, yesterday, Doris said when she talked to him, now that could be just talk, Jamie. Too. But Doris, when she talked to the coach, who said, boy, you know, Doc Rivers sees you know, untapped potential in Furkan Korkmaz, and I'm going.
Well, coaches, you know, and Bob can...
And he sees more than we do. He knows more than we do.
Bob can talk about this more than anyone, but coaches always have a blind spot towards certain players. Like Brett Brown, for whatever reason. Amir Johnson, yeah. You know, they had Rashawn Holmes on the bench, drafted in the second round out of Bowling Green, and he was young and cheap.
You had Rashawn Holmes.
Rashawn Holmes, Christian Wood.
I mean, I remember, and I've told you guys this story, pulling Brett Brown aside and saying, can you just please... It was just the two of us. I said, off the record, can you please explain to me why you have Amir Johnson playing over Rashawn Holmes? And he's like, it's just a comfort thing. And I'm like, okay, because I'm really uncomfortable watching him play. The guy had no legs when he came here, Amir Johnson. And yeah, they kept trying to feed that in there. I still don't understand
and
that.
Every time Rashawn Holmes got in for the Sixers, he was like that spark plug off the bench.
Offensive rebounding, yeah, energy. Yep. Yeah, I don't know.
Now you see him flourishing with the Kings.
I know one thing that didn't cross my mind all weekend long. And I was obsessing on it heading into Friday's show. Wow, they only got 24 games to get in rhythm. I talked about it twice last week leading up to the game. Man, you know, 24 games, is it enough for them to get in a kind of rhythm?
Yeah.
24 games, is there enough to get it figured out?
Of course.
I was saying 24 games and now two games and I'm going, now they can just polish the diamond.
Yeah.
Now they can get the rough edges off after two games. And I wonder if it's the competition that they played that is giving me a false sense of that next four. Who was at B-Hawk earlier? And yeah. B-Hawk said that four-game stretch against four teams that are in top six in the East. Now we're going to learn a little bit. Top eight in the East.
At worst, they'll go 2-2, and I bet they go 3-1.
I don't want 2-2. 2-2 I don't need. If 2-2 will make me have doubts.
No.
Wow.
Everything's fine.
2-2, you're going to have doubts?
No, I want to see them go out, and I don't just want to see them beat up on bad teams that you're not going to be beating up on in the playoffs.
Well, how did they lose the two games that they lost?
Well, first off, at home needs to change big time, but that's a whole other issue.
Yeah.
That's got to change. But I want to see, negative takeaway I had from the whole weekend is the team defense is not very good.
No, that's why they have Matisse out there.
It's not very good. They're not a very good defensive club.
No.
There were a lot of easy baskets for the Knicks yesterday.
Well, the concern.
A lot of easy baskets.
And they also gave up 12 offensive rebounds to the Knicks yesterday. Way too many.
Well, you've talked about that as a problem.
Yeah. And if you want to get out and run, you got to rebound, you know?
Hey, we have so much coming your way. Thanks for being a part of the show. We appreciate those of you who stream all day long. Remember, once you get out of the car, you just take the stream with you. Go on in. You can also go to 975thefanatic.com and stream us there right on your computer at work, should you wish. The joy was on full display. And Jamie wanted to talk about this earlier, so we'll let you hear it again. Joel Embiid taking some subtle shots. We'll try to count them next. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. With that Park Sportsbook app, the college and the pro hoops are there for the betting every single day. And during the game, you can even jump on board. If you're late to the party, the live in-game betting is better than ever on the Park Sportsbook app. Betting player performances like points, rebounds, and assists is a tremendous number right now. And I bet overs this weekend, and I also bet some of those player performances over, and it really worked out well for me. The same game parlays allow you to cash in big time. And if you want to get your futures bets in now, get them in before the Sixers get too hot if you think there's going to be a parade. The Park Sportsbook app is safe. It's easy to use. Outstanding customer service. Use my promo code Kincaid. Get a risk-free bet of up to $500 from the number one casino in Pennsylvania. And now, the new Parks Race and Sportsbook is located right inside the new Chickies and Pete's in Malvern. You play there, you get paid there. You get those paper tickets if you like them very, very much. It's the Park Sportsbook app. You will love it. You got to be 21 and in the state of Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
How's your Monday going? Doesn't it seem a little better when the Sixers dominate like that? Play like that? A big Eagles win on a Sunday makes your Monday a little bit better? Oh, it just makes you smile more.
I'm telling you, it felt so much to me like an Eagles Sunday yesterday. The anticipation of the game, the 1 o'clock start, getting ready for it. I really, really like watching this team play basketball right
and
now.
And I apologize to Tunis because I earlier last week when I heard him say it, I sort of scoffed. A 1 o'clock Sunday game that it feels like an Eagles game. The monumental nature of the game itself didn't. But my enthusiasm to make sure my backside was in front of that television at 1 o'clock was every bit yesterday what it would be to make sure you hit kickoff.
Yeah, I left here doing the show with Tunis, and I got a text from my buddy Wall. He said, Bears and Sixers game? And I was like, yeah, dude, come on over. Bring the kids. And
there was.
And we had a hang, you know, and a couple beers and watched the game together. And it did have a...
Who watched the kids?
They watched themselves. Skyler was napping, and his kids are old enough that they were playing on the swing side.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and they were just running around
playing
doing
in traffic. Yeah, it was all good.
Nah, they're good kids.
Pat, did that was that same for you yesterday or not?
No, yesterday, yeah, watched the game at home. Didn't have anybody hit me up.
So you didn't go to you didn't go to brunch?
I did go to brunch.
You did?
He loves his brunch.
He loves brunch.
I do. I love brunch.
That was an early brunch for you.
It was a disappointing brunch, honestly.
Aw. Yeah. Sorry.
Don't get the name of the place, but what was disappointing about it?
So I had to get the brunch to go.
Why?
A long story, but couldn't go there and wait. And,
brunch doesn't travel well.
It didn't travel well. Normally, I know what does travel well and what doesn't, and I just made an error, and that's okay. Because, you know, at 1 o'clock...
So it's on you.
Yeah, it's on me. It's not on the place. Right. I've had the item at the place, and it's been phenomenal. So it's more of on me. It's just an error in judgment.
Is it the place from Bong Boulevard across the street? No,
it's a place not too far away from it, though.
Oh, it is. It's not that far away from it.
Yeah, I'll tell you off air.
Which is great. Yeah, you can tell me off the air there. Jamie missed this in the first segment of the show because he had to switch mics. But the joy of Joel Embiid was on full display after the game with Kate Scott on Friday night. And Joel Embiid explained to all of us why he's so happy.
What do you think of your new teammates?
You should have seen my face every single time, especially in the fourth. You know, the first three quarters, obviously, making plays for all of us. That was probably the most wide open I've ever been in my career. I mean, I had a lot of easy baskets. I used to have to work for everything. But in the fourth quarter, the shot-making ability, you know, shot creation, should have seen my face. I was just like, never had this. Nothing close to it. So hopefully that continues. And we didn't even play our best, but I think we can be way better than that.
How many did you get?
I had 8.
I had 7.
Okay.
When I listened to it, I had written down 7.
One was so back-to-back that it could have been considered 1 and not 2.
Okay, here's the one thing I wish for...
He said shot creation twice.
Here's the one thing I wish for Joel Embiid. I wish that he puts that up on the shelf now.
He's having too much fun.
He's having too much fun. So just have the fun. Don't worry about the ex-girlfriend now that you're having that much fun.
Maybe he's just being honest.
Well, he was being honest.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with anything he had to say.
He's got a hotter girlfriend now. He's flaunting around going, you could have had me, babe.
I honestly don't think Ben Simmons was even a thought in his mind when he was saying that.
Every single one of those comments?
Oh, my God. He took so many digs.
Oh, come on.
Look, it might be naivete. I just don't think in the moment, I think he was really just trying to praise James Harden, and it wasn't. I don't think it was a cognizant thought. Yes, they were digs, but I don't think it was, let me get my shot in here at Ben. It was more of like, man, I just never had this. And maybe when he sits back after the game, he thinks, yeah, it's, you know, but the whole Ben angle of it. But I don't think in that moment.
So the same guy that posted an RIP Bozo meme the day he was traded isn't taking shots now 2 games
I didn't say he's not taking shots. I said in that moment, I don't think he was a thought in his mind.
Hashtag RIP Bozo.
There you go. I hope that he's beyond that now, though, and he enjoys the fun of the best revenge on Ben Simmons
is going to the finals.
Would be just keep the joy going.
Yeah.
But that's a big part of it.
It is. Look, Joel Embiid, as we all know from following his career, is a very emotional player. We could see when he was mopey on the floor. He admitted it.
Oh, yes.
You know, and when he's at his high and he's fighting and he's talking and doing all that stuff, that's when he's at his best. James Harden is bringing out the best in Joel Embiid because he has sheer joy playing with him. The one play yesterday where it didn't seem like much, but Harden's bringing the ball up the floor and Embiid's jogging up the floor also. At about three-quarter court, Embiid, or a little bit past half court, I should say, Embiid starts going at a full sprint, and Harden gives him the ball, and he goes up for that two-handed jam. I've never seen him run like that before, whether it's because of Ben Simmons or James Harden or whatever. I've never seen him run a floor like that, catch a ball on the run, and dunk like that before. James Harden is the perfect match for Joel Embiid's game, and maybe vice versa.
Josh in New York joins us. He was in the building yesterday afternoon. Josh, how fun was it yesterday?
Hey, guys. Well, it was great. So just a preface, I've lived in New York 20 years. Love your show in the morning. My three-year-old, it was his first game ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Just before the trade deadline, they doubled in price. You know, Sunday 1 o'clock's perfect for a three-year-old. So, like, he was able to point to beard because he knows what a beard is when they show Harden on the big screen. But it felt like a home game. Like, even when the players came out, the Knicks were booed, the Sixers were cheered. Knicks fans were probably booing the Knicks themselves, but it really felt like a home game. It was pretty surreal. I went to a Sixers-Knicks game at the Garden. I think it was the week after we won the Super Bowl. And that was all Eagles chance, but this was a home game, and the anticipation was pretty plausible throughout, especially when the game got close.
Josh, I guess work brought you to New York. Are you a native Philadelphian? Tell us how you got up there.
Oh, yeah. Grew up in Abington. Work and my wife and everything brought me to New York. So have been here 20 years and love it here, but close enough to get home. And we play all the Philly teams, you know, 48 times. So
sure.
I get to every game I can up here against everyone for work as well.
So. That's a great memory of you for you and your son. You remember that? Hope you took some pictures.
Goosebumps brought me back to, you know, Charles Barkley. And even when I was like, probably my first games were probably Dr. J in the 80s. I'm 40. So pretty surreal. But love you guys. I drive in the city now with COVID. This on my 40 to an hour minute commute from North Jersey is my free time. So
you're streaming on the app. We appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Josh.
His three-year-old's seen more games in the Garden than I have.
I still can't believe when I heard you say that yesterday.
Never seen a basketball game.
And by the way, Chuna said he's never seen one either.
Yeah, I gotta.
Wait a minute, how does that? It's a simple train ride up.
I know. And I've been in New York a million times. I've worked a hockey game there. I've been there for a concert. I've
by the way,
never seen basketball.
If you ever wanted to see a game in the Garden and you think the prices are too high, and a lot of times online they are, just wait outside. If you can wait till the opening tip. If you can just wait, you don't have to be one of those people who's there to see warm-ups and everything. If you just wait outside for the opening tip, you will get in. I guarantee you'll get in face value, if not maybe even cheaper.
You mean from the scalpers outside?
Yes.
Yeah, there's always scalpers outside.
There's always somebody. There's so much scalping activity out in front of that stadium.
I've never seen a basketball game there either.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, I've seen plenty of hockey games.
Yeah, I mean, well, have you done the scalper thing for hockey? Same thing. If you wait,
no.
But you got to wait. You got to wait right up until, and then the scalpers will literally run to you. When they hear the anthem going and everything, if you put up your hand, you're looking for one, you'll have two and three scalpers converge on you to try to sell you a ticket. You just got to be patient. I'm not patient like that a lot of times, wanting to do that. And one of my buddies was like, chill, just wait. And they come to you. And they'll get rid of the ticket.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to the Big East tournament like 10 different times.
I can't believe
and
you.
Never pulled the trigger. And
it is awesome.
Yeah, it's something I got to do.
It is awesome.
I don't think I've seen a college game there.
You never saw a Big East tournament game there? I can't believe you above all people.
No, because I was always covering tournament, usually Atlantic 10 or something like that. So, but yeah, basketball, you know, you hear the Garden and all that. Some things don't live up. That lives up.
No, it does.
Going
it really
to a game
does.
At the Garden lives
Since
up
Since the
to
renovations,
it.
Too.
It's dude, much
it's
nicer.
Beautiful.
It's much
yeah,
nicer.
It's really nice.
Hey, start your own spring training with NJ Diet. It only takes 40 days to lose 20 to 40 plus pounds. NJ Diet's got the only spring training going right now. Contractually guaranteed. Go to NJDiet.com. NJDiet.com. Jamie, let me look at the countdown calendar that we got for our family here, and let me pull it up here. Okay, for the NFL draft, you have 59 days. You are in the 50s now
wow.
in games. So Jamie continues to get you ready for what the Eagles' greatest challenge is, building this roster.
It's the Draft Report with Jamie Lynch. Now, here's Jamie.
Hey, guys, it's me, Jamie. I don't know if you heard
Hi, Jamie.
It's me, Jamie.
I know.
Hi,
I
Jamie.
Know
you are.
I'm here now.
Yeah.
Hi. We're glad to have you, Jamie.
Just showed up.
Hi.
Love you, Jamie.
Good to be here.
Mic work.
And this draft content is brought to you by North Penn Mazda. For the seventh year in a row, North Penn Mazda is a President's Award winner, an honor earned only by the top dealerships in the country. They don't hand those out at Wawa, John. You got to earn that President's Award. We're going to focus on some wide receivers this week. And we're going to start with, perhaps before his ACL injury, the unanimous number one wide receiver on the board. And that's Jameson Williams, wide receiver, Alabama. Stands at 6'2", 188 pounds. But unfortunately, the last we remember of him was him, a non-contact ACL tear in the national championship game. Pretty heartbreaking for him because it probably cost him some real money. I mean, he had a chance to go as high as maybe that 10 to 12 range. Now he's probably more in that 17-19 range.
Where the Eagles have a couple picks.
Where the Eagles just happen to be. So that's some good coin that knee injury cost him. So that's unfortunate. So that is one of his negatives, which we'll get to at the end. But he's a four-star recruit. And if you believe in kind of the blue blood players, he started his career at Ohio State. They were all full in the wide receiver room. He felt as though, I can't get my time here. I'll go to this football place called the University of Alabama.
I hear that's a good place.
It is.
Is that true?
Yeah, okay, wide receivers seem to do pretty well
there.
Yeah,
they do.
So he 1 year at Alabama, and he became their number one option. He is a dynamic athlete, that's for sure. His quickness off the line is what scouts say are going to make him a true deep threat at the NFL level. He has a silkiness off the line. Where he does struggle off the line is
silkiness.
Yeah.
I like that.
A press coverage. He's not as physical enough to get through some intense press coverage. But like all Alabama wide receivers, he's a great route runner. And one thing he understands really well is the soft belly of the zone. He knows how to find those spots and kind of sit. They say his ability to stop on a dime and come off his route and come back to the ball is excellent. So he's a heady, high IQ player, which is a great thing. Most scouts think he's best suited for the Z slot in the NFL. Not a slot guy, not your true number one, but kind of that deep threat guy that, can run most of the routes. So, kind of what the Eagles are looking for in terms of that. They want that kind of true number two. I think Quez is the number three slot guy, could work out well. So from that aspect, he kind of makes sense. He's a great runner with the ball in his hands after the catch. He has the silkiness I said earlier. He's very smooth in the open field. He's got the very flexible hips, yada, 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 that scouts love because it makes guys miss in an open field. The negatives against him, a non-competitiveness for 50-50 balls, which isn't great.
Yeah, but that's the NFL.
Yeah, but it's something you can hopefully work on. He's got good enough hands that if he can kind of develop that mental aspect. And part of that is maybe he was playing at Alabama where he's open all the time. So he's just like...
Yeah, but when you go up against a good team...
I know. So that's one of the knocks against
him. That scares me.
One of the other knocks is limited separation against press coverage, which we talked about off the line. And then perhaps the biggest one of all, he's coming off an injury. That's an ACL, which is kind of second nature these days in sports. So not too highly concerning, but it probably cost him some draft slots. So Jameson Williams, I'd be surprised if the Eagles took him, but he's certainly going to be right there in the range where they're drafting.
It's interesting that you, when you point that out, though, that sometimes in a draft, it's you watch for the value picks that guys, because of whatever reason.
He could be that.
And the quarterback rush, which we are going to, I am going to go light candles. Leading up to our trip to Vegas for the draft, I am going to stop it. I'm going to stop every single day and light some candles.
Yeah, you really hope Corral and Pickett go in like that 7-9 range.
If we get two or three quarterbacks taken,
yeah,
it changes the value of the Eagles draft picks amazingly.
Yeah, it does.
Because it affects the mock drafts incredibly.
Yeah.
Daniel Jeremiah is still somebody we both trust, and he still doesn't think that it's going to be as big a run on quarterbacks as in other years.
Yeah, that sucks.
That sucks. I hope that he's wrong.
Yeah, because that happens pretty much almost every single year.
I think it'll happen.
I still can't believe when you look at the mocks how everyone is so different. So different. I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
I've never seen it like this.
And you usually do. You usually know top eight.
4 to 5 are usually kind of locks.
Right. And then top 8 you kind of know might not even go into the place, but you know who they are. This one?
No. I don't even know who's going number one.
Yeah. No.
We don't.
It might be Aiden Hutchinson. It might be Evan Neal. It might be somebody else. Yeah. It might be Thibodeau. It's crazy. It's a wild draft this year.
And also, too, before the Eagles pick, you have the Giants with 2 and the Jets with 2.
Yeah.
Which totally could throw things into a, you know, if the Giants or the Jets wanted the number one pick in the draft, I bet they could get it.
Probably.
They could say, we'll give you our 2. We'll give you 2 picks in the top 8.
If the
2
Giants
picks in the top 9.
Don't take one of the best offensive tackles on the board there at pick 5. They should just fold as an organization.
As much as they're in on Daniel Jones, that they claim to be.
Yeah.
That Brian Daboll thinks he can make something out of him. What about 2? What about the 2 best offensive linemen?
Yeah, you might. Maybe.
You never know.
You might.
Yeah. Maybe they'll do it. So.
Yeah. And thanks again to North Penn Mazda, a Mazda President's Award winner earned only by the top dealerships in the country for bringing us that draft.
Right near the Yum Yum, right near the Wawa, right near the
Colmar train station. Can't miss it.
Now, all those other businesses don't even advertise.
Yeah.
And they get the benefit of just being
near. Well, they're in North the aura Penn. Of North Penn Mazda and VW, so they're right there.
There's an aura there?
Yeah. Yes.
They moved into the area because of North Penn Mazda.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. Area of 309 has
like
a beam
of light. It used to be like nothing.
Yeah.
And then everybody just wants to be near them.
There used to be tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Nobody knew about North Penn until North Penn Mazda showed up.
Got that right, Pat. Because it's the right experience and the right choice.
Now, Bob says this is the biggest advantage the Sixers have since Harden arrives on your roster. I think I know what the answer is, but I can't wait to hear it.
Go ahead. You can take a shot at it if you'd like.
Is spacing.
That's a good one. That's
the amount of space other guys have to work with because of the collapsing on Embiid and Harden.
That's a good one. Not what I think is a real advantage. I mean, I think that's an advantage, but not the bigger one.
Yeah.
James, do you have an idea?
Anybody else?
I'll take a shot. If
it's not the assisted buckets. No. We already kind of talked about that.
Go ahead, Pat.
I'll go the ability to get the other team in foul trouble.
Get to the free throw line. It's exactly it.
That's an amazing
one. When you guys know the NBA, when another team gets on a run and everybody gets on runs, what's the quickest way to stop it or the easiest way to stop it? I always say try to get an easy basket. Try to get to the foul line, something like that. This Sixers team can almost get to the foul line whenever they want. I mean, James Harden dribble driving, you could run a 1-4 spread, which is, put 4 guys down on the baseline, have James Harden have the ball, and dribble drive against this man. If you bring another man to him, we saw it yesterday, I don't know how many times, he's still unstoppable. One time he had 2 guys on him and he just went right into their chests and made like a real contested, tough layup in the lane. But if you have 1 guy on him, other teams on a run, you have 1 guy on James Harden. James, we need to stop this run. They've reeled off 9 in a row real quick.
It happened yesterday. It was a
15-5 run.
Yeah, and he just came down and was like,
exactly,
I'm getting this bucket.
He did.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I talked to you about this, John, before. When he goes, if you watch James Harden, it's not cut.
From the foul line.
It is, I'm looking you right in the eye, here I come. And he goes right at the chest. And he can go to his left, he can go to his right, he can pull up, he can go through you. The amount of things that he can do offensively, it's unstoppable. But getting to the foul line, getting Joel Embiid the ball down low, whose footwork, Doris Burke brought this up yesterday. His footwork, him and James Harden might be the 2 best footwork offensive guys in the NBA as far as getting their defenders off balance and getting them where they want to be to draw a foul. I don't see teams going on huge runs against these Sixers because not only can they get to the foul line pretty much whenever they want, in Embiid, Harden, Maxey, and Tobias Harris, you have 4 guys right there that shoot close to 85% from the line. 85%. They're going to the line and they're not missing.
And the national media and Nets fans.
Oh, they've already got the whining.
They're already bitching and whining.
About what?
About the Sixers getting to the line, yes.
Yeah, about how much they're going to the line and how it's a bad style of basketball to watch play and this and that. And I go, well, yeah, that's because they're unguardable.
when you saw the Timberwolves on Friday night after the first quarter, it seemed like there was 28 team fouls. They were kind of looking at the refs and like to themselves of like, damn, like what do we do here?
And look, the reffing yesterday was, I was going to text some of my friends that are refs in the league and just say, is this a tough game to ref, or the Sixers a tough team to ref? But I didn't, because I was just kind of watching it. But they also missed a couple. I mean, Tobias Harris went up for a slam and got his arm almost taken off. They didn't call. There was a couple other calls that the guys were looking for things that weren't there. The NBA, or I'm sorry, this Sixers team is almost like an NFL offense. You could call a foul on every play, just like you could call a hold on every play. That's how tough this team is.
Are you saying like a referee that when you talk to these guys that they were blowing the whistle too much? They almost think in their head, are we blowing it too much?
Well, I was wondering. That's how I would have posed the question. Is this a tough game to ref and why? And then I would probably get the answer, yeah, maybe they're calling too many, they're not calling enough, or the Sixers are just that good at drawing fouls. Sixers are going to commit some fouls too. But real quick, defensively, John, you were talking about their defense.
Sure.
They've played two not very good teams.
No. But pretty good offensive clubs.
But these numbers are okay defensively. In the two games, they've only given up 105 points. But field goal percentage, 43% the other team. From three, just 20 of 72 for 27.8%. And they've forced 17 turnovers.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Those are just some things you can keep an eye on. Look, I don't think this is a great defensive team either, but James Harden came up with some steals in an open court yesterday. Matisse Thybulle always is going to come up with some steals.
The one Harden steal came off of an Embiid turnover. And
Yeah.
And Harden got it right back, and you could just kind of see like Embiid go like, cool.
All right, cool, yeah.
Like, you got it back for me. Thank you.
I don't know if I have ever, and I really have to think about it, if I've ever seen a team have both big men foul out in the third quarter.
Like, yeah,
that it was late in the third quarter, right?
I know it's the Knicks. You know, I know they're not a very good team and they're kind of checked out on Thibs, but he was begging them to just, you know, pull your arms back. Like, he's getting so frustrated. They still, both of them fouled out in the third quarter where they had nobody in the fourth.
All right, Sandy Colfax on Twitter had said Dwight Howard on the way. And in the past half hour, I had somebody send me Dwight Howard with the two eyeballs.
Huh. So, funny you say that, because
Lakers are a mess.
Lakers are a mess.
Yeah, so I had been told that people in the Sixers were going after him pretty hard.
So
yeah, we talked about it. Yeah.
It said Dwight Howard. The text was Dwight Howard with two eyeballs. So who knows?
Yeah, so just so we know what the rule is. So a player on an NBA contract, he must be waived by the end of today in order to retain his playoff eligibility.
Correct.
So somebody can be waived today, and even if the Sixers don't grab him yet, as long as he's waived
as
by
he's
midnight
waived.
Tonight,
right.
He'll be okay.
I just want to get this out. I do wonder, all the vets they're trying to get, they're communicating with, I do wonder, after watching these last two games, if it's changing some of their opinions.
More attractive. Hey, a very hot story. Like, really hot. Like, Sixers have never been this hot recently. We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show, second half's coming your way on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How much fun are you guys having watching the NBA? Probably a blast, right, if you're a Sixers fan. But I can tell you right now, watching the NBA, watching this current basketball team, and winning money, it makes it so much sweeter. You can do that on BetMGM. They have everything. They have the one-game parlay where you can build it around the big man and the beard and the team winning, and you could win big. You could build it just on the money line. You can do whatever you want because BetMGM is truly the king. And right now, to get you started off right, all you have to do is place a $10 money line wager on any game. And if either team in that game hits a three-pointer, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. And this is the NBA we're talking about. It's not a bunch of Ben Simmons. They're going to end up hitting multiple three-pointers, which means this is a virtual lock. But to get in on this offer, when you sign up with BetMGM, you have to use the bonus code PatEgan200 when you make your first bet. So it's pretty simple. You head on over to BetMGM.com or the BetMGM app, and when you sign up and they ask you for that bonus code, you just type in PatEgan200, and then you just have to make sure your first bet is a $10 money line wager on any NBA game. I, once again, would pick the local team, but when the first three ball goes in, boom, you end up having $200 in your account. Plus, with every wager at BetMGM, you're you're earning BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for room nights and dining at any MGM resort nationwide. So get in on this offer, and don't forget, when they ask you for that bonus code, it's PatEgan200. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager in Jersey, Pennsylvania only. New customer offer. All promotions with the qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire within 7 days of issuance. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Appreciate you finding us on a daily basis, whether in New York or Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, wherever you are. We love you. Stream on that app all day long. We YouTube audience, we saw you early this morning. And I understand some Celtics and some Nets refugees have been visiting the YouTube channel.
Oh, what do you say?
Which is great to see.
They're going to be pains in the asses, but we got James Harden, Joel Embiid.
Anything we can do to help them understand the game a little bit better would be very much worthwhile. Really good.
We got James Harden, Joel Embiid.
Hey, the 8 a.m. hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. How much do you think Stephen A. wants to think about the day that Daryl Morey will dread that he dealt? That was his statement.
He said Daryl Morey got...
Will dread the day.
Yeah, what did he got?
Oh, I retweeted it.
It wasn't hoodwinked.
He got hosed.
Yeah.
I think that... Well, there is one thing with Stephen A. He does go back and check himself and laughs at it, unlike some others.
Well, that's good.
But this one... People are going to be laughing at Brick quite a bit.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, look, it's two games, and we haven't even seen what the Nets are going to be. Kyrie Irving had a phenomenal game the other night.
He did.
He's going to be back March 7th, it looks like, to be able to play home games. I don't know where Ben Simmons is. I mean, it came out now that he can't get on the court for another couple of weeks.
Well, he has a newly discovered back issue, Bob.
Yeah. And I saw some of the New York.
He'll be healed March 13th.
I saw something
up
in New York. It said, wait, Goran Dragic is 35 years old and hasn't played but five games this season, and he's going to be ready to go before 25-year-old Ben Simmons.
It's amazing.
Bob, you have to ramp up.
Got to ramp up to it, Bob. Come on, Bob.
You can't just hop on the court, Bob. Hey, you gotta ramp it up.
But think about that. They're already protecting him from playing in Philadelphia.
They are. They absolutely are.
Do you think they're part in the back of Sean Marks' mind is going?
No, he had to know this was coming. He knew all these things. We knew these dates. We knew the date before the trade was made.
Yeah, but
Sean Marks knew it.
He didn't live it and experience it yet.
Yeah, you can know it.
We knew
it's different when you actually have this.
All you have to hear is, oh, he'll be different up here.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
He's not.
Well, the 76ers are a very hot story. Like, really hot. Like, the last 5 years, the Sixers were 7th in local TV ratings in the NBA. The Sixers have never been this high in a generation. Right now, I got the TV ratings through February the 16th for the entire NBA. The number one local market where people watch NBA basketball. Got a guess, Bob? Number one local market, and it's not even close. They double any other market.
Huh. Well, it's got to be a bigger market, I would assume.
Yeah. They double any other market. The second place local TV rating team.
Boston?
No.
That's funny. I went to a
Golden
place
Golden State's number one.
Oh, wow. I was going to say Milwaukee because there's not a lot going on there.
Golden State doubles the number two team in television ratings
locally.
That's
wild.
Cleveland is number two. That shocked me. That shocked me.
Huh.
Number three, the Sixers in the NBA. This is the highest the Sixers have been in a generation. Local TV ratings. Bucks behind the Sixers, right behind the Sixers. Bulls right behind the Bucks. Celtics right behind them. But you're talking about teams that are pulling in 2.5s, which is just five NBA teams are pulling in local 2.5 ratings, which is a really strong number for a regular season game. The Bulls, the Bucks, Sixers third, Cavs second, Golden State Warriors just dwarfing everybody. But what it tells you is the Sixers team is incredibly hot. It's an incredibly hot story. Friday night was the third highest rated 76ers regular season game ever.
I thought it was going to be number one.
Ever.
Me too.
Ever. That's incredible.
I was waiting for that tweet.
That's incredible. Third highest ever. And it just goes to show you that, I mean, we're talking about a team like the Sixers right now. Do you know the Lakers? The Lakers are down in the bottom 10 of the NBA local TV ratings.
It's a mess out there.
The Clippers.
And LA is weird.
Clippers are bottom 3.
Yeah, LA's weird.
Brooklyn Nets, bottom 4.
Brooklyn doesn't have fans.
And they're not even the favorite
Brooklyn Nets, bottom 4 in NBA TV ratings.
Brooklyn doesn't have fans, and LA is such a bandwagon hopping town that when the team's bad, nobody cares because it's full of transplants.
I'll shock you with the worst TV ratings in the NBA locally. I'll shock you because this is a good team to watch, and it is a fun team to watch.
Miami.
No.
Phoenix.
I don't think of Miami's being that fun a team to watch.
Phoenix?
The Denver Nuggets. I think Denver is. Denver's one of those ones. If I flip by Denver Nuggets, I'll watch the Denver Nuggets.
They have the reigning MVP.
Denver Nuggets are the worst locally TV rated team. The Sixers are the hottest they've been in a generation. Local TV ratings. People are excited. People are into it. And this story is only going to get bigger because, yes, these are the ratings through February 16th. And Friday night was the third highest game ever. And I can tell you, I was out. We were out at, got the cousins together, went to PJ's in Newtown Square. And it was a zoo. An absolute zoo. And I'm not talking Mark Zumoff. It was crazy. The amount of people that were lined up to go just hang out and watch the Sixers game. A regular season game.
It's an event. It's awesome. It's an event. And the first two games, perfect. Friday night, you get James Harden to debut, and then a Sunday afternoon. So the debut couldn't have come at any better time. And then, of course, Wednesday, which is going to be special, a home open, his home debut. And, yeah, we'll be there doing a little knockout after the game.
It's going to be so much fun, and I got to give Coach credit. I mean, he manipulated the Sixers into holding out James Harden before the All-Star game. A lot of people don't realize this. Coach, it was well played on your part to make sure knockout night was going to be one of the hottest tickets in the history of the city.
Yeah, so let me
Coach,
ask you.
Coach, no stuff.
There we go.
Let me ask you a question about Wednesday night.
Yes.
James Harden's debut here in Philly. You know that when they introduce the players, Joel, the process Embiid is always last. Is he last on Wednesday?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Is James Harden first to be introduced?
No, I think he'll be fourth.
Whatever. I think James Harden should be fourth. But we know the guy who does that, or we can get close to him to find out maybe a little hint. My guess is James Harden's fourth.
He might actually listen to this program sometimes.
I spoke to him about it.
I think he should listen to this program.
He's been working on it because he wasn't sure if it was a Harden or a Harden. Like, he had like three different variations.
What was the difference between those two?
I think I screwed up on the second
James
one. It was more Den.
Yeah, let Mac
one was
it.
Hard and then in, and then one, whatever. He had two different variations. He was running by me at the coffee pot, and I was
really was.
We dumped that whole.
And I was like, they're both good.
Matty Cord, don't listen to Jamie on anything as far as.
No, I was
this.
Listening to him. I just screwed up his story.
Make sure you get these right. This is going to be so much fun. Wednesday night is going to be electric. That stadium is going to be nuts.
And it's, after yesterday's game of just a constant foul calls, you wonder how it's going to go Wednesday night.
Oh, I think it's going to be constant foul calls.
We'll see. I don't know. They might lay off the whistles a little bit. I mean,
they don't want 3-hour, 15-minute games every night.
Yeah. I mean, I may know a ref or two that...
There should be some O'Hara refs in this game.
That know when there's a blowout coming that it's kind of like, hey.
There was an O'Hara ref Friday night.
Ed Malloy worked Friday night.
Eddie Malloy worked Friday night. You had Mark Lindsay worked yesterday.
Yes.
You're probably...
No one cares.
You're always going to get a local guy in an NBA game, probably.
I mean, Pat, there's some true ties to understand when the O'Hara refs, sometimes the games are a little interesting.
They are.
More interesting.
They are. I just, Bob mentioned in every ref he knows. It's just,
yeah, but they're still there. The local guy's being mentioned. It's good.
I mentioned one.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business, remote workers, and learners. You can explore more at your local Staples store, staplesconnect.com. Bob, one correction, though. And I was wrong on it last week, and now it's wrong from the weekend. Kyrie Irving is not going to be eligible to play in the home games. Even though they're lifting the restrictions, it doesn't appear, by the wording, it does not appear that he's going to be eligible because the public sector and the private sector are different.
Yeah, I'm seeing conflicting things about this, so I don't know exactly which one.
It's going to have to be worked out as far as him to be eligible to play. This is really interesting.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
And Durant's still not back yet. They're legit. Have a good shot to play in the play-in game.
Right now, they've got to work. They have some work to do. I don't believe it's incredible work to do. But to stay out of the play-in tournament, which they do not want to be.
But if Ben's not playing for another 2 weeks because he's skipping Philly, Kyrie's half the games, and Durant's still not back yet. Like,
right now, they are three games out of the line to get in, and they're behind Boston.
They're going
to
play in the play-in tournament. They're behind Boston, Milwaukee, Cleveland.
No. Play-in tournament, the only thing you got to worry about is Boston. The only one they got to track down is they got to get into the sixth spot. They're three games back.
Well, Milwaukee's only a game ahead of Boston and Cleveland a game and a half.
Yeah, but I mean, the line, though, is where Boston's sitting. The Raptors are two games behind Boston, and the Nets are three games behind.
Raptors are hot, too. They're not cooling off.
The Hornets and the Hawks they look like the 9-10 game. Unless something drastically changes for them, because they're 2.5 behind Brooklyn. So the question is, I'd rather see Brooklyn work their way up to the sixth seed, see the Sixers be the two seed, and realize that you don't have to pay them until you win to play them, and you avoid them in that first round. I don't want to play them in the first round.
Yeah, I want them.
And I think it's false bravado. Anybody who says, because I had a couple of people on email give me the old, oh, you can't be scared. You play the best of the best. You don't want to play Brooklyn in the first round. If you're saying you do, it's false bravado.
I don't care. I don't care who you play. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, you love this Sixers team. You see how good they are. What difference does it make? If they play them, would I make the hardest
road? I want the easiest road.
If I said to you, you could play Toronto could play Toronto in the first round, Charlotte or Atlanta in the first round.
Charlotte or Atlanta.
Or take Brooklyn.
Charlotte or Atlanta.
Correct.
Atlanta. Any other answer is nonsensical.
Atlanta.
Wouldn't you love it?
Atlanta would be fun because we'd blow the doors off of that.
And I'd love to see
just
that.
Keep John away from the microphone.
Yeah, no voiceover work, John.
Well, if Pat doesn't lure him into one of those taunting videos.
You know, no, man. Like, I took the fall one time. I ain't doing it again. That was all you.
All right. It was all me.
That was all you.
It was all me. It was. It was definitely all me.
Went in there with your little videos.
Oh, stupid me.
Little videos, and you recorded it.
It was stupid.
You had time stamps on YouTube and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Mistakes were made.
Okay, it was stupid. I take full ownership of it. It was flat out stupid.
Let's go another stupid stuff. In the
And I've heard that. Yes. And in the transition to more stupid stuff, in the linchpin, there's fast and there's easy. There you go.
This is the linchpin.
Nothing like a smooth open to the linchpin.
There's fast and easy.
What is smooth is the Sixers' fast break game. And, you know, look, I think that's the thing they missed most about Ben Simmons was just his rebounding ability to push, transition, and go. They got it back now. Tyrese Maxey scored on 6 transition buckets yesterday. And they were fairly easy buckets. Their fast break numbers are incredible. Bob hit on them earlier. What was it, 45 to
41-15.
41-15.
It's unreal.
They have pace, they have transition, and they have a quickness with Tyrese Maxey playing off ball now that they didn't have before. And look, Tyrese and Ben never played. Ben never got Tyrese as Tyrese is now. So Tyrese has now been opened up even more with James Harden. He doesn't have to worry about orchestrating the offense. He gets the playoff ball and just uses quickness and speed. The amount of easy buckets they're getting is really, really encouraging. A lot of that's just a tribute to James Harden's vision. I mean, some of the transition passes, he's hitting Tyrese in stride. You know, Ala mentioned it, he's hitting everybody right in the pocket. He's just making life really easy for everybody else. And it's not going away.
He had 16 assists yesterday.
Yeah.
He's already eclipsed Ben Simmons' career high. Like, I don't know why people underplay or play up this narrative that he's a selfish black hole offensive player. Look, it's only two games, but I've watched James Harden a bunch. He's incredibly unselfish.
Could that have come from people who observed him in different situations with different supporting casts?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that Houston supporting cast was not this one.
No, he had to score 37 a game.
What was Clint Capela the second or third option on some of those Houston teams?
Third. Most times,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
James Harden has to be more selfish.
Yeah.
He has to be. What do you want him to do?
And then you see him with Brooklyn in the last 2 years. He's averaged two more assists per game than Ben Simmons. He's up at, I think he's 10-4, 10-8, and now 10-2.
Which means you're not selfish.
Yeah.
By definition, you're not selfish.
He's averaging 28 points with the Sixers on 13 field goals attempted a game. 13.
That's incredible.
13. He took, what'd he take? He took 14 one game and 12 another game.
That's wild. And his ability to get tough shots off. And just pushing transition and finding the right guy. There was one to Tobias where he caught the ball at the three-point line on Friday night and just shot. And I went, oh, good. Eliminate the dribble from your game. Just shoot. You're going to be open. Stop thinking. Just shoot. And the way Harden puts it, you know, it used to be called the triple threat. I don't know if anybody calls it that anymore. But he's hitting dudes right there. Boom.
That yesterday, by the way, during you were talking about he hits them right there.
Right there.
I was listening to Wake and Bake yesterday morning. It's radio. I couldn't tell what you were showing people. You kept saying he hits them right there.
In the pocket.
Right there. But nobody knows where.
Well, I was saying the pocket.
Show them now for our YouTube viewers. Show them
right
what
in
you're
the
saying.
Pocket.
Right in the pocket. So right in the hand.
In lacrosse, we used to call it the box.
So where does Jalen Hurts hit them?
I'm not going to bring him into it. But, I mean, whether it's a bounce pass, a transition pass, a guy on a cut, he hits guys.
It's awesome.
He's a better passer than Ben Simmons, and I think Ben Simmons is a great passer.
There we go.
I think you're right.
I love it.
I think he's a better passer than Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons is an elite passer.
Yeah. But the shoots it from the midsection is amazing to me. The strength he has is incredible.
Yeah, he went right. He went through three guys. Three different instances this weekend with N1s where I was like, he's not going to be able to get this shot off. And then sure enough, he pulls it off. And
there was the one play yesterday where he muscled through three guys.
In the lane.
Right. Got it all. And even Doris Burke was like, well, that's the strength of James Harden.
Went right in their chest.
Yeah.
It's exactly what Bob talks about.
And he probably should have gotten fouled on that as well. But it was, he's on another level.
Steve and Chalfont joins us. Steve, if you're trying to wet blanket today, I tell you, I got an itchy trigger finger. Steve?
Hey, sorry, I had to switch off speaker.
Okay, buddy.
No wet blanket. First, I wanted to say I was at the game yesterday at Madison Square Garden. Absolutely electric atmosphere. So much fun to go down there and just blow the doors off the Knicks. It was very enjoyable.
That is nice, too.
I have to say, something my buddies were talking about yesterday, Tyrese Maxey has it's only two games, but with the addition of James Harden, has blossomed so much more in those two games offensively. I mean, he already had tremendous growth, but is there any talk about him being in the discussion for most improved player in the NBA?
Well, he's the second leading. You were at the game yesterday. During the game, right. Steve, they had a graphic up. He's the second most improved scorer in the NBA. And right now, the 9.2 would be one of the top 10 all-time seasons of a player going from 1 year to the next year in scoring. So that's in top 10 range. That'll probably come down a little bit. Or maybe it'll go up. I mean, it's an amazing improvement.
It is. They usually don't give that to second-year guys.
I was going
to
say Tyler Hero and Ja Morant come to mind.
Ja Morant, I think, is a...
Because he's not going to get the MVP, but he's almost deserving of it. So that's a nice way to give him...
He was on that list, too, I think, right?
He's on that list.
He went from 19-1 to 27-1.
John Morant was number one, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's an 8-point
difference.
He was
number one,
he wasn't.
He was third. Tyrese was one. Tyrese was two.
I forget who was one.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
It was it's great. And Tyrese Maxey is becoming a legitimate star personality in the NBA.
Oh, he's that word that you love.
Joyous.
I was watching the game with my wife and mother-in-law yesterday, and I couldn't count the times that they said how cute he is. and how adorable he is, and isn't he fun? And he is. He's just that on the basketball
court. The shot that he hit, which was amazing, where he fell.
Fast break one.
Yeah, and he just started like slamming the floor, and it was like, oh, like this guy was having fun before. Now that he's playing with James Harden, who Jamie points out a lot, you know, a guy probably grew up watching and idolizing, he's just upped it to another level.
And did you guys see after that play when they went to the bench, they had, I guess Thibault was mic'd up.
And they're all.
And Thibault walks over to Max and he goes, how did you catch that? And it was like very
and
calm
he said,
and
I
very.
Don't know.
Yeah, he goes, I don't know.
I don't know.
It was, I thought that was a pretty cool exchange.
Bob, you talk about your neighborhood and how in your neighborhood. You love your neighborhood so much. A good sign in your neighborhood was the fact that you got the basket hoop, you put the hoop up, and you're always hearing the kids at play.
Yeah.
And you're hearing the games and everything like that. And you know with your neighbors how you know you have good neighbors. You bring each other, like somebody will bring something over to your house, some fresh made bread.
Yeah.
You'll bring some jambalaya.
Sure. I did. I took some jambalaya over to Nick and Mary Lou. I did it for Jamie.
Thank you,
yeah.
Bob.
Well, I have the first signal that my new neighbors may be very, very good. Something came out the other day. Anybody want to put together a group text for a golf group in the neighborhood?
Oh, nice.
So if somebody says, oh, I want to get out today, and then one of the other neighbors says, oh, I want to get out today, you can hook up with somebody and go play golf. I said, that's the first sign.
Guys helping dudes.
Well, that's a good sign.
Better
like,
than
you
this.
Know, hey, somebody has a chance to get out. Hey, want to get out? The golf group text. Not a bad thing.
Not at all.
That's a good thing because we're on the last day of February. And it is due. I want to answer Adam's email to me.
What's up, Adam?
It's not Adam Joseph, by the way. Adam says he does enjoy the show every day. He goes, John, but you severely fanboy this person more than anyone you ever applaud.
Can we guess?
Yes.
Can we all have guesses?
Yes.
I'll go McVay.
Now, remember, He sent it this morning.
Oh, this morning.
It's not Jimmy G.
Fanboy.
He says it's Bob.
A little bit, yeah.
Bob.
Because he says, why do you constantly have to say, like, you ran something by Bob or you asked Bob a question? Because I did?
Why do you hate me? I appreciate the honesty. You're admitting that somebody else knows know more about the sport.
I don't consider that a negative. He goes, why would you undermine your own credibility? I'm like, credibility, first of all, if you're worried about credibility in sports talk radio, then you're worried about constantly being right and worried about, don't worry about that. But more importantly, I as I said, it's always been for me, Eagles Phillies has been the obsession of just constantly watching. The Sixers have always been were never in that top two. But to learn about basketball, I love to pick people's brains.
Yeah, all you need to know about John's credibility is in one drop.
Aaron Nola is an ace.
And that's what it is.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, it was not bad.
I appreciate the fact you'll admit it. But Adam, is that the guy's name?
Yeah, Adam.
Adam's used to radio hosts being
I know it all. Yeah.
And they're never wrong.
He goes, don't fanboy Bob so much. Just, Adam.
Maybe I like a little fanboy sometimes. Yeah. You know, it's good for the ego.
Adam needs that.
Why is Adam against me?
Come on, Adam.
Bob needs that positive reassurance sometimes.
It's not what I'm doing. It's if I learn something from somebody, I don't bogart it. If I read a column and I use it on the show, I mention the person who wrote the column. If I do my research and I say, get this in the Seattle newspaper, get it in the Seattle newspaper. Attribute your work. And if you find out, if I'm running stuff by people, it's fine. But Adam, I appreciate you listening very, very much. He says he listens every day on the app.
He just doesn't listen for Bob.
He listens on the app. He's a salesman and he runs all over the place. He runs from Maryland up to Connecticut in his car. So he listens all the day on the app. We appreciate that. All right, coming up, another first round wide receiver. Jamie previewed it for us in the draft. But this was an interesting discussion. We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. You know, if you're planning on hiring a lawn care service, you're a smart person. Because Natural Lawn of America, my lawn care company, knows they can make your lawn look better. They've been creating green lawns quickly, more naturally, and with fewer weeds for 35 years now, since 1987. Natural Lawn isn't cookie cutter approach either. So if three lawns on your block are getting Natural Lawn of America taking care of them, their certified specialist is going to tailor their applications to each lawn's specific need. And that approach has reduced pesticide use by 85%. The truck pulling up and just spraying on your lawn, every single house on your block, isn't the approach that's needed because there's shade and there's some other issues that get involved.
You're going to love this company. They're locally owned and family operated right here in the Delaware Valley. Stop compromising your safety with other lawn care outfits. It's time you get the results that you want and the peace of mind that you deserve. And you can take advantage of Natural Lawn's limited time offer. Free seeding every year. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED, F-R-E-E-S-E-E-D. Choose my lawn care company. It's Natural Lawn of America with greener grass and fewer weeds. Guaranteed.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Pat Egan, perk up here. Bring your family to celebrate Hooter the Owl's birthday when Temple Men's Basketball battles USF this Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Leah Kors Center. You can meet local mascots and enjoy tons of kids' activities before and during the game. Visit owlstix.com. Temple's most famous non-graduate, Pat Egan, is one of their biggest fans.
We walked around, took him to, who do we see, Bob?
Tulane.
Tulane, yeah. So I took him to that game. Bob happened to be there with his daughter. And after the all he wanted to do was meet Hooter. So after the game, we tried to mingle around, and I had to explain, Hooter's back in his cage, buddy. He went away, and he couldn't understand where Hooter was.
Well, they had to put him in his cage.
So that's what I told him, but, you know, the kid's three. You know, he's not the smartest bulb in the shed, so I had to explain to him, we got to go home now. They're kicking us out.
Do they put Hooter in a cage?
Yeah.
Sharpest bulb in the shed?
Yeah. They, neither
that's sort of you mixed your metaphors there a little bit. Yeah.
Look, it runs in the family.
Because bulbs are very smooth.
Let's, yeah. Let's move on. Not when they break.
Sharpest tool? Brightest bulb?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm gonna go to the game.
I'm going to go Sunday. Do you want to? We going to meet up together again?
I will definitely see about going. Yeah.
Okay. What was that? Yeah.
I don't know
we
what this.
We sat together. We got ice cream.
I don't know what those hand motions are
now. He ate my ice cream and then he told me he didn't like that flavor. Power move by him.
Yeah, he was a little bratty.
Could the could Temple maybe make a tournament run in their tournament? In the you know, they're going to have a bye, it looks like.
Yeah, they're just a tough team.
They're tough.
Yeah,
they can scare some people.
I like what Aaron's doing. They're young. They have some shooters. They got a kid coming off the bench who's playing really well. So, yeah, they're going to make some noise.
They're so young.
I told my daughter, I said, your freshman and sophomore year, you're going to have a really good basketball program at Temple to get excited about because this team's going to really come into shape. This is a great experience that's been gained this year.
He's done a really good job of having his guys buy in.
There you go. Will the Eagles take another first-round wide receiver? Jamie and I both really respect Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network and Path to the Draft at NFL Network, if you don't watch that. And he was asked a lot of questions in a Q&A on Friday about the Eagles having drafted receivers in the first round in back-to-back drafts, and would they do it? By the way, only one team has ever done that. Jamie, do you know the team that's done that? The Detroit Lions. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, you could throw it around in the room, Johnny.
Well, I mean,
Detroit Lions.
Jamie.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Wow.
Can you name them?
I had Detroit on the tip of my tongue.
Give it to me.
Charles Rogers, Roy Williams, and Mike Williams.
Oh.
Yeah, they the only one that was worth a damn was Roy for a little bit there.
Well, you hired a Penn State GM. So I'm just saying is maybe that was...
Did you ever, real quick, did you ever hear the story of how they drafted Mike Williams?
No.
So they were...
From USC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had, I think, the 10th pick at the time.
Okay.
And they were... Steve Mariucci was dialed in on drafting DeMarcus Ware from Troy, who went to the Cowboys, I think, one pick later. And all of a sudden, Steve Mariucci's kid, this is what we talked about with nepotism last week, goes... Yeah, but could you imagine an offense with three wide receivers? And Mariucci says, and then I saw the look in Matt Millen's face and his eyes like get big. So then they draft the
kid. Serious?
And Mariucci has to go on the NFL Network and talk about what he likes in the pick that they just took that he didn't want in the first place.
And he wasn't prepared to talk about it.
Not at all.
Oh, that's terrible.
And then he busted.
Yeah, it's terrible. They're looking at and just when you hear Daniel Jeremiah, he believes that it's potential. There's potential that if the right guy fell to them at the right time. Now, Jamie, you told us a little bit about look at this as we get ready for the draft about would they take another first round wide receiver? I don't want one. I can't tell you who I want, but I can tell you who I don't want. I don't want anybody who I hear is maybe not good at the contested ball. I don't want anybody who's considered not a physical beast. I'm looking for somebody big, and I'm looking for somebody who can win the one-on-one battle. Those two things in the scouting report have to be top if I'm thinking about even drafting a wide receiver, maybe in the first two rounds.
Then that's probably Treylon Burks. If that's the guy you want, he's probably the better compliment.
I don't want another finesse receiver.
No, Treylon Burks is 6'3", 225, can go get a 50-50 ball. He has great hands, playmaking ability. That's probably more the guy that is the better complement to Devontae Smith.
Isn't that what you have to look at right now?
I mean, if you go the free agent veteran route, there's those guys out there, whether you can pry a Mike Williams away from L.A., or, you know, even a DJ Shark has some size to him.
Everybody's talking about Shark.
He makes a lot of sense. He does.
Yeah, but what's he done?
Well, he's been in Jacksonville, so it's hard to judge. I mean, it's hard to judge. He didn't have a quarterback, really, for the first 2 years he was there. He's shown some playmaking ability, and he's probably cheap enough that he's in their range. He's one of those guys you bet on ascending, and I think he's a worthy gamble in that regard.
Yeah, the name that's been popping up a lot with the Eagles when you're talking wide receivers, the kid from USC, Drake London.
Yes.
And that goes to what you're talking about. So he's 6'5".
But
I mean,
I've
he's
seen
a little
him
bit
in the top
thin.
Seven in some.
Yeah,
and
it's weird because he's all over the place.
It's this draft,
right? He's in the low 20s in another one I saw yesterday morning. I saw him 9. Yeah. I saw him 9 and 21 yesterday morning checking around.
Doesn't it scare you, though?
Yeah, because
wide receiver, USC.
It does scare me. Yeah, it absolutely
scares
me.
That's why I go vet. Me personally, if I'm Howie.
I would much rather see them address wide receiver with a veteran. I'm not talking about cashing in all the salary cap space either for
Well, yeah, that's what it depends what happens with the quarterback too, right?
No, I'm with all of you guys on that. I still think that having 3 first round picks gives them the luxury of possibly taking any position. You know, even one that you look at and you might go, oh, that's a strength. Like we talked about offensive linemen before. Like, I think everything is on the table because they know that they can afford to miss one, if not two, of these picks and still be okay. They really just have to hit on one.
The one thing that Daniel Jeremiah was very clear on is he does not expect the Eagles to take 3 first-round draft picks.
No, I don't think so.
Everybody says that.
Yeah.
Which means that they will.
Okay, we're in Las Vegas the morning of the draft.
I want them to.
So it's the morning of that Thursday. And if they still are holding all 3 of their first-round draft picks, what do you think you'd... Right now... Because we'll change it by the day we're there. But what would you put the odds at that they would draft 3 players? If the morning of, they've still got them?
15%.
If the morning of, they still have them.
So we're doing the show that Thursday, last Thursday in April. We're in Vegas. We're doing the show at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. And they still hold all 3 picks. No moves have been made. Jamie says 15%. I think I'd go like 25% that they would.
I was going to say 25.
I'd go a little higher. If they haven't done anything yet, I'll go like 40%.
And it does, there was an interesting, the cap guy for ESPN, the ex-GM that they got in there that does the cap stuff, said taking 3 first-round draft picks, he goes, can actually be a severe luxury. He said as far as just if you get them right, that can really, really help you. And he says, because they all believe, it seems like everybody believes in NFL circles, well, Howie's never taken 3.
No, especially with a quarterback. I mean, it's a quarterback insurance policy because next year's class is, 3 of the top 5 picks are going to be quarterbacks. So if you don't do anything this year and you have your doubts about Hurts, you move it to next year so you have ammunition to go, hopefully get one of those guys.
I think one of the reasons, though, I do think that he would take it is because they have the holes to justify taking all 3.
They do. They absolutely do.
And you save a lot of money on that first contract.
Yep.
And that wanders us over to Cooney's Corner and the other side of the ball.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner. Our perfect show just ended.
Well, it was more of a stroll than a roll, I guess.
A stroll.
I was going for a dramatic pause.
Yeah, and you got it. You went for it.
That was dramatic.
Good job, Pat. Some might call it a pregnant pause.
Yeah, there you go. There we go.
So a lot of the topic that we've been discussing with the Sixers is, and rightfully so, offense, 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 what James Harden brings and all that. Has the defense, John, you brought it up earlier, said, yeah, their team defense just isn't that good. Now, you don't have the quickest of feet in a Tobias Harris defensively, a James Harden defensively. You know, it could suffer a little bit, but I was really watching defensively. Now, Harden gets beat off the dribble a lot. It might put a little more pressure on Embiid to rim protect. And late in the game, he seemed to do it a little bit better than he did early in the game. But I didn't notice too much of a drop-off defensively. Now, this team has been so built with Matisse Thybulle and Ben Simmons and other guys on your perimeter defense. And Jamie had a good line. Like, yeah, maybe Trae Young shot 5 for 23 and they had perimeter defense, but they still wound up losing games. You know, offense is still, as much as I'm a defensive guy, offense still wins you games and still overcomes mistakes. Am I crazy to think that this defense isn't all that bad that it can't overcome?
Not at all.
It can't be overcome by the offense?
I gave up caring about defense after last year. You had three of the top 15 players in the world defensively, and you lost to the Atlanta Hawks with home court advantage. I want offense, 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 because a good offense will beat a great defense, I think, most times.
I mean, Atlanta had one play that they continuously went to, and the Sixers could never stop it. And it was a high pick and roll where either Trae Young shot or he dribble drove and threw an alley-oop
Clint
to Capella.
Yes.
That was it. I mean, that was their whole offense. And then every once in a while, you'd get a three out of that from somebody else, and those were daggers. But if that got you through the Sixers last year, imagine what a pick and roll run with Joel Embiid and James Harden does against opponents this year. I just think their offense is so good that their defense might not wind up looking so bad. Now, the Knicks and Minnesota scores a little bit. Minnesota scores the basketball.
And they're not a bad defensive team either.
No, but when you're averaging 129 points a game, I'm hard-pressed to...
I'll take my chances versus anybody averaging.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's something, like I said before the trade, or right after the trade, before we saw them play, keep an eye on Tobias Harris. Keep an eye on this defense.
And if
see
you
what you see.
A highly motivated Harden. Look, defense is effort. And a lot of times he doesn't give it. If you get a highly motivated Harden here, he played decent defense these past two games. I'm not saying he's going to carry that for the remaining 22-23, but if he gives the effort, he's not as bad as his reputation.
Yeah, he gets some steals like he did. Now, some were handed right to him against Knicks. But he also, poked a couple balls away.
He's smart. He's savvy.
Yeah, he is. Look, when he gets beat on a dribble, he's not going to try to make up for it. You know, there was a couple times he got beat on a jab step, and he went back, and he was just like, all right, man, you beat me. You got the open shot. That's where James Harden gets his rest on the basketball court.
Well, and that's the importance of not trading Matisse in that situation. I'm not the biggest Matisse fan, but defensively, he's great. And you need that after you trade Ben, even though Ben didn't play this year, but you needed that. I mean, Jamie brought it up perfectly, though. You thought that the Sixers had the advantage last season because of their defense. And they also had Embiid playing at an MVP level.
We thought.
This year, you have Embiid playing at an even better level. And defense is kind of a secondary thought because of what happened last year in the playoffs.
It's incredible to me. It's incredible to think of what the ceiling is. But I also look at it and go, Knicks in Minnesota. I'll look at that four-game stretch coming up.
Yeah.
After the Knicks game on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, if you take a look, the Knicks have two scorers, and that's Randall and
R.J. Barrett.
R.J. Barrett. They shot a combined something 13 for 35 yesterday. You know, when you can put a Matisse Thybulle on a guy for another team and shut him down.
And you still have Joel Embiid hanging around the rim.
Yeah.
I mean, there was two instances yesterday where he caught up with guards from behind and blocked the ball out of bounds, and I just went, oh yeah, he's still there defensively too.
And how many times other teams go up for layups, and when he does go straight up, that they just miss what looked to be easy layups because of his intimidation factor.
He was guarding Emmanuel quickly on the three-point line when it started out.
And he drove baseline. I remember the exact play you're talking about.
It's like quickly thought he had Embiid, and then all of a sudden Embiid came out and just swatted that crap right back at him, and it was like, oh, okay.
The interesting story popped up I read yesterday morning. So Troy Aikman is scheduled, if it appears he's going to go to ESPN and do Monday Night Football, for $18 million a year. Okay? Then there's talk of that they're going to try to lure Al Michaels to come do Monday Night Football with him.
Mike Tirico would love that.
So that works out. Well, supposedly, they've already told Al Michaels, you're off. Tirico's ascending to the job that he was hired to do. It was supposed to be play his time. Yeah. Okay, but here's the question. What about the Mannings?
They'll have to compete against the Manning cast. Because they signed, Omaha Productions signed. I think.
But what are you doing then if you're ESPN?
Giving options. I guess you're not as worried about the big number if you get the same number on both channels. I guess that's their thinking.
But like hypothetically speaking, the Mannings can't go to Amazon and broadcast the game. You know, I think
they could have. No,
they
could
talk about it, but you can't. No, but
no, like, right?
They have to. Amazon would have to have the rights, which they don't. So the Manning cast would have to stay on ESPN. Whoever,
but the Mannings are going to work.
Be ESPN.
10 of the 17 weeks. So they're going to work 10 of the 17 weeks. It just seems strange to me that you're really excited about this Manning cast.
I personally love it because it gives me an option. If I want to be, learning something, I'll probably tune into the Mannings. If I want just traditional...
If you're intent on watching the game.
Yeah, if I just want traditional broadcasting, I have it. So I personally, as a viewer, love the option.
Yeah, mine is if it's seems to be an uneven game or one that doesn't really carry my complete interest.
Or a great interview that
if
they have.
An AFC game,
go to the Mannings. Yeah.
If it's an AFC game, I don't care.
Yeah, if they have Cousin Marshawn on, right. I'm flipping over to watch that, you know.
The two games in, Jamie, who's the biggest benefactor that Harden's here?
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, Thibault, I think, is going to get better and better and better, but I think it's definitely Tyrese Maxey. I think the Sixers now have a coach on the floor that's a guard, and Tyrese Maxey is seeing the benefits of that. He's been coaching from the bench in Milwaukee, whether it's telling George Niang to start shooting 10 threes, or if it's Tyrese Maxey saying, get up and go. And if you're passing up open shots, you're going to hear an earful from me. So I think Tyrese is the early benefactor. And then Tobias, I think, is the one that's kind of having the toughest time with it. I do think he'll be much better because his shots will drop. He was getting open shots. He's just kind of been off these past two nights. But he does seem like he needs to find his lanes and right positions to play with Harden and Embiid off of this. But I think Tyrese is definitely benefiting the most so far.
I think Doc Rivers is going to wind up benefiting the most. And it's a play on what Jamie just said.
It's a lot in his shoulders, though, Bob.
Yeah, losing big leads has gotten, Doc that reputation in playoffs. You losing big leads with the combination of James Harden and Joel Embiid isn't as frantic as it was before when you lost it with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
It's the truth. Sure.
And that foul line thing that I'm talking about, like them being able to draw fouls as easily as they do, they can stop momentum really quickly. There's no worse way. You have something going, and then you got to stand there and watch the other team shoot foul shots consistently. That takes away your momentum like that. So I think the real benefactor here, plus what Jamie was talking about, the coaching on the floor, the smartness the two of them show in Embiid and Harden, I think it's really going to benefit Doc Rivers in knowing this team, learning this team, and be able to move forward.
And he makes his rotations not puke-worthy.
Well, and by the way, he went to the...
It's going to happen here and there.
He took them all on Friday night.
But for the most part...
Third quarter he did it.
Yeah, I know, but for the most part...
But like he said, he wouldn't do that.
Well, there's going to be 2 minutes here and there in a game.
I see no reason to do that anymore.
I thought he didn't have Maxey or Harden off the floor at the same time.
No, he did Friday night.
It happened for like 2 minutes.
It was the end of the third quarter, yeah. I believe it was, or the beginning of the fourth.
But he did a pretty good job.
I understand, but he had just said he's not.
They won by 30+.
I see no reason why I'll have any reason to do that anymore. Now that I got this guy, I have no reason that I have to do that anymore.
Everybody that's called up today, you've gone, hey, I got a quick trigger for wet blankets. And now you're being
that's
a wet blanket.
That's not a wet blanket.
You are. They won by 30 points. You're bitching about everybody being off the court at one time.
No,
let's give them a break. Maybe they need water.
What I'm saying is he's the one who said it, that I see no reason I'm going to have to do that anymore.
But then he saw a reason. Everyone was thirsty.
It's ridiculous.
When you have an opportunity to get George Niang in the game, you
do really
it.
Yeah, you really do.
I'll need Mike's special juice.
Okay, we do not care about power rank. We've never done power rankings for this show. But do not look at your computers. The new power rankings just came out in the NBA from ESPN. The 76ers are what number?
I'll go four.
Jamie?
I'll say three.
I was going to go three.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Well, they're idiots.
No, because they're probably higher.
Number one, the Phoenix Suns.
That's right.
Number two, the Memphis Grizzlies.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Number three, the Golden State Warriors.
So far, all West Coast teams. I mean, all Western Conference teams.
Number four, the Miami Heat. Mm. Number five, your Philadelphia 76ers.
I wouldn't have Memphis up there above the Sixers right now.
I wouldn't either. And also, too, I don't think I'd have Miami ahead of the Sixers.
And let's not forget that Chris Paul's hurt.
Right now. I mean,
like 6 weeks.
And yesterday, it showed.
Yeah.
It showed in that game yesterday. By the way, the Bulls are six ahead of the Utah Jazz. The Bulls are not better than the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz might sweep the Bulls.
The Bulls are 2-12 versus teams with over 600 win percentage.
I think the Jazz might sweep the Bulls. I think the Milwaukee Bucks in the playoffs would. The Milwaukee Bucks are eight. I think the eight, they'd be a gentleman sweep against the Bulls. I'd love to see them. I think the Mavericks, who are nine, are better than the Bulls. The Bulls are the most over-talked about.
Well, they've been missing Levine
right now.
So, you know, that's big for them. DeMar DeRozan's, his last like 10 games, his stat lines are absurd. So he's carrying them, missing one of their best players.
Correct.
We'll see what happens when Levine gets back.
I think DeRozan is doing what Embiid did last year for the Sixers, for his MVP candidacy.
Yeah, he's carrying them.
He's putting up incredible numbers and everything like that.
I never saw it coming to this
level. It's unbelievable. He's absolutely fantastic. All right, in the final hour of the show today, an amazing debut weekend for James Harden brings us to a point of reflection. And hopefully, celebration. We'll get to it next. Coming up, we got 1 hour to go. Cuz Radio at 10. And the Mike Messinelli Show comes your way at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Beat the rush. Your home was cold this weekend. Why was it cold? Because the windows you've got are not getting the job done. And you're telling me money's tight. John, I can't afford new windows. But you can. Buy two windows, get two free. How about that? If you have 20 windows in your house, I'm telling you, you're paying for 10. All right? I've saved you money there. But how about this? Pay nothing for 2 full years. I'm talking no money down, no payments, no interest for 2 full years. That's what Window Nation's got to offer you right now. And with over 1 million windows installed and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and over 10,000 online positive reviews, you know you can trust Window Nation. And this is a fantastic deal for you right now. Do your window shopping online at windownation.com. Find every style, every color, every size you could potentially need. And then they're going to give you 2 free windows for every 2 that you buy. And you're paying nothing for 2 years with no money down, no payments, no interest. Call 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. Improve your home, improve your curb appeal, and stay warm with Window Nation.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thank you so much for making the John Kincaid Show part of your life. And honestly, the more time you spend with us, the better. We love it. We appreciate you being a part of the show. We hope you're telling your family, telling your friends to hang out with us. It's been... Hopefully you find it entertaining and we'll enjoy this 76ers run that will hopefully last us till Father's Day. You realize that? Father's Day would be game 7 this year of the NBA Finals.
Mm.
Now that would be cool.
Then I want it a couple days before Father's Day.
So you'd rather have them win it in 5, right? Then have that
come versus
together.
The worst team in the world. I don't want the best team in the world there.
Yeah,
I want a title, Bob.
Last year you fell down. You fell down on Father's Day. and it wasn't good. So, oh boy.
I feel it in my plums.
I'm telling you right now. It's really good. What are you?
I don't know. Jamie's just on my nerves today.
What's wrong?
He's picking on me.
Okay, that's crazy.
I'm going to play the toughest opponent.
Oh, let's air out.
I didn't say I'd play the toughest opponent. I said I don't care who you play. I didn't say I want to play the toughest opponent.
Okay, that does
doesn't
seem...
rule my day.
That does seem out
team
of...
Team comes, you play them, and you beat them.
Well,
okay?
No, I'm going to say...
That's what you do.
I'm absolutely going to...
I'm scared with your tail between your legs.
No, I'm absolutely going to tell it. That's the... It's false bravado if you say, yeah, bring on the Nets in the first round.
Yeah, he just went tail between my legs. No, I just want the easier path.
It's not to have that...
I didn't say I didn't want the easier path.
Let me guess.
I just said there's not a team that really scares me right now.
Brooklyn round one, Miami round two, Milwaukee round three, and then you're winning the title, right? Yeah, no, I'd rather play Charlotte... Atlanta, and then Chicago.
Good for you.
You can throw a Boston or Toronto in there. It'd be fine.
Sure.
Even though Boston would scare me a little bit. I mean, give me a little agita.
I don't. They'd be a pain in the ass, but I don't think they have the firepower to keep up with this.
The only thing is with Bob's got me watching Boston with the rebounding. That is a really good rebounding team in the Sixers. I don't like it when your team has a deficiency and the other team has it as a great strength. And that is a strength on weakness.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you run into a lull offensively, you know, Harden might not be hitting a shot, or you go to the second unit, whatever it may be, and you're not getting any offensive rebounds, and it's just one and done constantly, that grades on you. It really brings you down when you go against a really good rebounding team. The Celtics are kind of a pain in the ass. The way when they're playing good, they're a pain-in-the-ass type of team. They do things well. They pass the ball well. They get good open shots. They rebound well. They're kind of that little thorn in the side. Do I think the Sixers would prevail? Absolutely in a series, but I think it would be a tough go.
After the game on Sunday, yesterday, Doc Rivers says, good win, but.
That was a good win for us, but a little frustrating at times, still with our fouling. It's funny, at halftime we're shooting 51%, and I was really frustrated offensively. I just thought spacing wasn't as good as it was the other night. The extra passes wasn't there. And then in the second half, in the fourth quarter down the stretch, we started doing that. Matisse had a couple of great roles tonight. James had a couple of great passes to him. And each one of those increases the confidence of Matisse, which is good.
I'll give you something that I think's really good.
I think that's a little nitpicky on Doc, but I think it's good because you're giving them something to work on.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You're giving them something to work on.
I'd be pissed off if Doc Rivers was sitting back saying, yeah, how cool is this? And I told you, John, when we were texting yesterday, I said, I'm really excited about this team. And that's usually I'm the nitpicker. I'm the guy that would come in and say, yeah, but. I just see so many good things about this team. They're averaging, in the two games with Harden, 36 points in the first quarter, 37.5 in the fourth. That's good. You get off to a good start. You know your starting five's out there. Fourth quarter, you know you're ending with that starting five. When they do that and come playoff time, that starting five's going to be in there even more. That's some pretty good offense right there.
Yeah, outside of just depth bench pieces, there's nothing I've seen that gives me any reason for concern at all.
You think this roster's good enough?
No, just outside. I want a Gary Harris type of guy that can get you 15 off the bench. Outside of that... If Dwight Howard becomes the backup center, then or Derek Favors, whoever it may be, hopefully somebody gets pried loose here. I think they're in really, really good shape. I think when you start getting everybody's fifth and sixth guys, it becomes mediocrity all across the board.
With this second unit being a little shaky right now also, and to what we were talking about, John, you brought it up about the Celtics rebounding, that would make me want to go towards Dwight Howard. That second unit doesn't have the offensive juice that you want, so you don't want to be giving up second and third shots defensively when you're not scoring that well. I wouldn't mind Dwight Howard with that second unit at all.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't. I'd even though I think he is a
LA. I get your problems with him. They got Willie Cauley-Stein right now.
No, I got you.
They have Paul Millsap and Willie Cauley-Stein.
6'7", Paul Millsap holding down the middle spot.
And they brought it up on the broadcast yesterday because, you know, Paul Millsap was kind of the afterthought in the trade. And he's a pretty decent player, but he's just playing out of position right now. But it's because Doc Rivers has nobody. And in two games, they threw Willie Cauley-Stein in there for garbage minutes. But it's pretty clear that they're not really impressed with him. So they need somebody. There's no doubt in my mind that the Sixers are calling some of these vets being like, yo... You've seen after two games what we can do. Ask your team for a buyout.
It's just got to be today. It's got to be before midnight strikes tonight. East Coast time.
Did the Lakers play today?
I do not believe they got, boy, they didn't.
LeBron got booed and Jeannie Buss got up from her seat and left.
Jeannie Buss left in the middle of the game.
Maybe she had something to do.
Lakers don't play tonight.
Maybe she wants to see Euphoria's season finale.
No, and she's no longer with Phil Jackson.
She's not. Okay.
So she wasn't running to see Phil.
Maybe she's doing another Playboy spread.
And go off to the cabin. To have the the blue fog coming out.
The peyote.
It's a peyote tea.
James Harden yesterday spoke, and he talked about how much he loves being on the court.
I feel really good. I took a couple weeks off to make sure my body, my mind was where it needed to be. No matter what the naysayers or whoever, like, I know my body and I love to play basketball. Don't ever get that twisted. So it was definitely difficult last year and a half to be missing all those games, but I love to be on this damn court. I feel like I'm here to do my job. Every single night, be a leader and find ways every single game to help this team win games.
He let it out of the bag. He wasn't hurt those last two games before the All-Star break. He said he was out missing games to get his body right.
Well, he's got to get his body right. And then that means it didn't feel right.
And then he says, and then to get my mind right. I guess it was too, I mean, he let it out of the bag.
Yeah, but the first thing he said was body.
Yeah. He did. He said, I missed games to get my body right, and then I missed games to get my mind right.
But that would make sense for what we were told, right? We were told it was a mild hamstring soreness. We all thought it was BS when he didn't play right off the bat. You know, we heard he wasn't even in Brooklyn. He went back to Houston to await a trade. So everything lines up with what he said.
Well,
right,
I mean,
there.
Is it the whole? I understand it, but he didn't need to go to Houston.
Maybe he had something to do.
He had something to do. He wouldn't have something to do if it was a regular season.
No, maybe, you know, he had to get new windows.
Window Nation?
Yeah.
He could have. I could have hooked him up with
maybe
it.
Maybe he...
They're looking to open a Pagano's in Houston.
Yeah, there's a lot of options that could have happened, you know?
Pagano's is going to Houston?
They beat Milwaukee without him. They're fine. I don't know why this bothers you.
I understand. Because I don't like how the NBA treats... He got like an exhibition.
But he got hurt last year in the playoffs after aggravating it again in the regular season. You don't think that's in the back of his mind?
Could very well be.
Pulled a hamstring?
Yes, I have.
It starts to feel good. And then you go and do it, and it seizes up on you again. Hamstrings are really, really tricky. And he wanted to make sure he's right for the home stretch. And
I got
his body looks right
now. His physical right and his mind right.
I don't know why this bothers you.
Well, I mean, the trip to Houston in the middle of the regular season.
Get the hate out your heart.
I'm just saying.
If it wasn't the All-Star break, he probably wouldn't have sat. But he had a chance to get an extra 2 weeks off for his body and his mind. He had to go hang with little baby and
exactly
and Meek Mill and, you know, get in the lab and get some rhymes out.
Is this like a wet blanket again, Pat? Are we getting?
No, it's not. It's just the idea. It reaffirms to me the NBA's constant. We don't care.
But you're,
and by the way, it is. And the same thing with like Joel Embiid. The more he plays, better he is.
Look, first of all, I mean. He played, and he's two rebounds away from two straight triple doubles. But with that said, you're focusing on the past, man. We're looking towards the future. You're focusing on what happened before he was even in town.
You're a visionary.
Yes. We are on the road to a title.
Wait a minute. Visualize it. Pat, lead me through the visualization process. Maybe that's what it is.
Close your eyes.
Okay, close my eyes.
All you need to do is imagine James Harden on a bus sponsored by Delilah's with a few of the lovely ladies going down Broad Street with the Larry O.B. That's all.
Okay.
And visualize it.
Okay, that's a great visual. Is the Fanatic in the parade? Do we have a vehicle in the parade?
We do, yes.
Coach, do we have a vehicle in the parade?
Absolutely.
We should.
No. It'll be from Coach's place in Pensauken.
I mean, unless Tom McGinnis always does.
Always?
Yes. In a team's parade? The flagship always has a spot in the parade.
I think we'll have it.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
All right, good. The flagship always has usually a bus, flatbed, or something like that. It better sure as hell be. We'll get it worked out today.
Yeah, we'll have something from North Penn Mazda. We'll have one Mazda.
Coach, why don't you
Devon and McGinnis hanging out of the sunroof.
Coach, why don't you confirm that, just call Doc Rivers today and just confirm, or Daryl Morey, and confirm we'll have a flatbed in the parade.
Knowing... Bob and Jamie will be pulling up the rear.
What?
I'm sorry, what?
I don't understand.
No idea what the hell you're talking about.
What?
Turn his mic off again, please.
Damn it, God, man.
In the something about that?
We go to a corner or something.
What was new blackberry cobbler handcrafted beverages have flavors of sweet, fruity blackberry and baked caramel. Enjoy a blackberry cobbler cream smoothie, latte, or macchiato today. gotta have a Wawa. Jamie wants to laugh at the public relations spin that's out there.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, I still have the Woj and Shams notification set from trade deadline time.
Really?
I keep Woj on all year long just because...
Yeah, Shams off.
Shams I usually turn off unless it's deadline or veteran buyout market period time. So it came out, I think it was Friday or either Saturday morning. I can't remember. So I clicked on it. I see Shams. And in it, I see the updated Ben Simmons story that while he really wanted to play in the highly anticipated March 10th game in his return to Philadelphia, a newfound back ailment is probably going to cause him to miss that. And they need to ramp. And then you heard Steve Nash go on about, yeah, his conditioning, he needs to ramp it up yet. I had a really good laugh that that's not our problem.
That was a lie.
Yeah, like, so he used his back ailment when he reported to training camp here as a stall tactic to stay out of the gym and with his teammates.
Okay.
Now he's using it again. Newly discovered, huh?
Look, I said it before. I wonder how much this guy likes playing basketball. I really do. And he seemed to say all the right things when he got traded to Brooklyn. It seemed like he was anxious to get back.
Yeah, I want
to
play in March 10th. Yeah, sure you do, Ben.
I don't know.
He doesn't want to play here. He's afraid.
Yeah, but they could avoid here and he still could get on the court for his team. Like, I got to tell you, man, I'm 25 years old. Yeah, I would have to have a cast on somewhere in order not to be on that basketball court.
Well, Ramona said he was driving hours all over the place just staying
in shape. I can't imagine not getting on the basketball court.
Getting in runs, right?
Yeah, so I have no idea what he was doing this entire time.
So I just had a good old belly laugh. That's your problem now. Have fun with it.
But it's no rush, right?
He doesn't want to play in Philly.
No, he'll play March 13th.
It's Jamie's 100% correct, and I think we all knew it when we looked at the schedule and we saw that Brooklyn still had a game left to play in Philadelphia, that there was no shot in hell that he was going to play. I bet you if you put Truth Serum and everybody in the Nets locker room and say, can he play today, they would say yes.
I bet you March 8th, 9th, you start to get the stories of, conditioning, getting up to par. He's getting real close to playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
How do you think his new teammates are feeling?
I wonder that all the time.
And I bet you he doesn't even make the trip to Philadelphia, and they'll say, he's back. You know, we don't want him making the trip. Injured player. He's rehabbing. I bet you he doesn't even step foot in the Wells Fargo Center until next year.
That's the other thing. Does he come on the bench? Because he has been with the team now.
Well, he has been with the team and all the other games.
Don't come up with an excuse for it.
How could they have an excuse for that game when he's been on the bench?
I think it's either the end of the road trip or the start of a road trip for them, because Sal Giunis and I looked this up yesterday. So there's a way they can spin it as, well, he didn't need to be on the road, or they're going back home after.
Yeah, we're having him go see a specialist.
Yeah, something.
Wait a minute.
Well, he's going to see a specialist.
Bob, I mean, what's protocol on this? If he's injured, even if they've been on a road trip, and they're rolling in when you're a two-hour car ride away or a limo ride or whatever. I mean, wouldn't protocol be for him now, to be there?
Yeah, I mean, it's the third game of three away games. Sunday, Tuesday, and then Thursday here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's the last road game.
Make the announcement a week beforehand saying, he's not going to make the road trip because of he's going to stay here.
He's getting back treatment, so he's ready to go.
That's probably what you'll hear.
If he plays the game after it, though, he looks like a total B.
He already looks like a total B.
Yeah, he already does.
But if he plays the game after it,
so the game
it is going to be. Seriously.
The game after is at home against the Knicks, 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon on ABC.
Nationally televised.
Yeah, is that your debut?
So debuts that day.
Absolutely. I don't think he cares at this point. I don't think he cares about how he looks, because he knows he already looks like a bitch. I mean, it's just
wow.
It's the reality. And look, I was a big Ben Simmons fan. I defended the guy, but imagine trading for a guy that you cannot play at a location that is a divisional opponent. Like the Nets.
Well,
can't
next
play
year
in Philly.
He'll be able to, but I think they're trying to avoid it this year for his turning into a puddle aspect.
James, could you see a situation where next year he doesn't play? I'm not saying every game, but the first game.
He's eventually going to have to play here.
I agree with you, but I could see next year this lingering and it continuing.
He might have to play here this year. They may meet in the playoffs.
Well, then he has to
be. You know, then he's got to be there. By the way, update this morning on the Kyrie's story, Shams had it right yesterday. He's not eligible to play, Bob.
Wow.
Okay. According to The Athletic, he is not. But the new protocols, unless they are manipulated, he's not eligible to play.
That's ridiculous.
This is so stupid.
Yeah, it really is.
It seriously is stupid.
Yeah, New York and Philly are doing their own thing now.
They're just making it up as they go along. But what's the reasoning? What is the freaking reasoning?
I don't know.
That they would be keeping him off the court.
The CDC just said that mask wearing is optional. And
correct.
Most places have dropped the mandate outside San Fran, New York, and Philly.
Now, I see this morning that hopefully the April 1st and April 15th are being talked about for the FAA, which I will greatly appreciate, where potentially there's no reason for you to have to wear it in the airport right now. But they're still making you wear it in the airport, everywhere you go in an airport. They've just told you indoor mask wearing but they're still making you wear it in the airports. Mm-hmm. That has to go away. And then potentially on flights within the United States, potentially April 1st or 15th, people are hearing that will be the date.
Hmm.
And as someone who has to fly pretty much every other weekend, I will greatly appreciate when that goes away. I will never miss that one again. Now, my wife, she says she may, during the winter, if she ever flies again, she may wear one. Because she's like, during the winter, when you hear people coughing and hacking on a plane,
yeah,
she said just to avoid the cold.
She's not going to be alone. I think
no.
She said just to avoid the cold and everybody sneezing and hacking when you're on a plane.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than when you're in a seat and you can you start timing the person behind you that's coughing?
Yeah.
And they start like, okay, every minute, you know, here it comes.
Yeah.
Here comes the next cough.
Yeah, so, I'm hoping my daughter's school goes on masks pretty soon because there was a new study out from Cornell about speech and learning and words that it's actually detrimental to them because they need to see people sound out, you know, the words with their mouth. So I'm hoping this is all behind us any day now.
And they also said, too, the thing yesterday, George Stephanopoulos' thing, they had the babies. The amount of babies that have spent the first year and a half of their lives seeing people in masks.
Yeah.
And how disconcerting it is. They can actually see how disconcerting it is to children.
Yeah.
They're now seeing faces that are a little creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some parents said they've really had trouble that when they get home and take their masks off, that their kids don't know how to react to it.
So it's but good news that it's all going in the right direction.
There's light at the end of the tunnel.
But the Kyrie situation, I'd be fine if New York continues to screw it up. Because anything that keeps them out of the sixth seed, or is that where you want them?
I just think it's too much for this year for them. I think next year they'll be pretty scary. I think this year it's just because all three of your stars have something attached to them. Durant's got his injury thing he's got to get back and healthy with. Kyrie's got his vaccine thing that's probably prohibiting him. And then Ben Simmons has whatever the hell Ben Simmons is.
Now, how could James Harden still says that Kyrie and him are good friends? Do you believe it?
I think these guys can compartmentalize their friendships.
That's why he wanted out, though.
Yeah, I don't think
reportedly
that,
Kyrie's thing is why he wanted out.
I don't think that
the
makes
number one thing.
Hate him as a person. He just didn't want to be teammates with him.
Or he could be lying.
Or he could be lying.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, if that's the reason I want to change jobs and move from city to city.
Yeah, but they're so uncomparable.
I don't think you're my good buddy. You're my good buddy. I'm having to move.
They live in a whole different world than the rest of us plebes.
Pat, what do you believe in? Are you not believing?
Yeah, he's lying.
You think he's lying?
Yeah, I mean, what does he do? Come out and be like, yeah, no, I hate that guy now.
No, but you don't have to say you're good friends, though.
Here's the thing. We're going to read into it and dissect every sentence in that answer. So he might as well just take the high road and say, oh, no, everything's good.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine, yeah.
Yeah, we're fine.
You pull a Jamie.
We're fine. We're fine there.
Everything's good.
Tibbs looked yesterday,
it is.
Bob, like he's had enough.
He's at the end of the road.
Did you hear the microphone thing when they came back from the one commercial break? They're coming back from commercial break. They have Tibbs mic'd up. And he's talking to the one official. And they're showing you the clip. And he says, yep, I'm one of 30. And the ref goes to him, you're one of 30. And he goes, yep, you're one of 30. He goes, you got to count your blessings. Because he's literally saying, in other words, the conversation we probably didn't hear was, this is a freaking mess. This is such a tough. And he's like, look, dude, you're one of 30.
Yeah, he always looks miserable. He really does. And it was funny. He can't turn it off. Like talking to people throughout the league.
Resting bitch face.
He can't. You know, I mean, I heard stories of him like on Thanksgiving Day, them closing down offices and him saying, no, I have to be here to watch film on Thanksgiving Day. You know, things like that. He just, you see it on the sidelines. He just can't turn it off. And it's grating on teammates. Like, for some reason, he always catches my eye. When he's in Chicago, he has this thing where he shakes his hand, where he gets real nervous on a play and he can't stop. And he's constantly, I never agreed with this. If a guy makes a bad play, doesn't get back on defense, showing the guy up by making faces and throwing your hands up in the air, players don't like that.
Where'd the team defense go with the Knicks? I mean, he had them playing great defense.
Yeah.
When he arrived there.
Well, that's the thing. You know, defense is, as Jamie said earlier, it's an effort thing every night. He wants that every night. He wears on you.
He burns you out.
He does. And I just think that this is classic. You know?
I said it before. He's Keenan without winning. He's Mike Keenan without winning. He's going to be that guy who has a shelf life of 3 or 4 years and then got to move to the next place. But he doesn't win as big as some of these other grading coaches.
Yeah, Leon Rose has a decision to make up there. You know,
and I think it's move on.
I think you probably hire him. You know, I think there was more to the thinking of hiring Tom Thibodeau than to just try to get a good coach. And it's probably you want to see what your players are about under a guy like that and who you're keeping and who you're getting rid of and who you can build around.
Well, they might have their first-round draft pick that gets re-signed to a second contract with them.
And RJ Barrett, they're gonna have that.
First time in 30 years. So, hey, kudos.
Hey, the scouting combine, the Underwear Olympics begins this week. I wonder if Jamie's DVRing it. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Get the Park Sportsbook app. College and pro hoops, they are heating up like no other. And right now, you've got live in-game betting. Let's say you were late to the game yesterday, and you walk in the middle of the first quarter. You know you can still bet it on the Park Sportsbook app, and you can bet individual player performances, like points and rebounds and assists. Same-game parlays allow you to double down and cash in big. Futures bets? Well, do you think you know who's going to win the NCAA tournament? Do you know who's going to be the NBA champion at the end? Get your odds in now. Get the ticket now on the Park Sportsbook app. It's safe, it's easy to use, and from the best casino in Pennsylvania. You now have the new Parks Race and Sportsbook located right inside the new Chickies and Pete's in Malvern. You play there, you get paid there. And the Park Sportsbook app is always so much fun with a risk-free bet of up to $500 when you use the promo code Kincaid. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Refueled, recharged. That Philly Auto Show is returning March 5th to the 13th. Filled with the latest models, classics, and exotics. Visit PhillyAutoShow.com for details.
Anthony has tickets for that to give away today.
He'll be giving away tickets to the auto show.
Yeah. Is the Bat vehicle
there? Bat vehicle.
I saw some people posting pictures of it this weekend. Looked pretty
that
cool.
People saw the Bat vehicle and maybe...
Yeah, because I told them to go see the Bat vehicle at the Fashion District. The
Batman vehicle.
The Batman vehicle.
You guys can joke all you want. It's fine. People went.
Look cool.
It is awesome. I swear to you that where I referenced Bob on like basketball and it was driving Adam crazy earlier today, one of our listeners, that I do that, but I like to do that. But Bob, there are things sometimes I notice a story before it becomes a bonfire, and I go, something's not right here. And the Kyler Murray story, I read it from day one, from absolute day one, that this guy, that this was a problem. When he scrubbed his Instagram, and everybody was like, oh, no big deal, nothing to see here. Now Kyler Murray's agent has put out a manifesto. Kyler wants to be direct with the Arizona Cardinal fans and the great community. And he wants to know that he has two very important goals and objectives. One, he absolutely wants to be your long-term quarterback. And two, he desperately wants to win the Super Bowl. But achieving both goals is going to take incredible commitment from himself and the entire organization. So despite all of Kyler's energy being focused on the future, he's proud of the franchise's extreme turnaround in competitive and success since his arrival. He literally puts out a missive because he wants his fifth-year option to be not... He wants a new contract. And he's saying that he wants to be a long-term quarterback. He desperately wants to win the Super Bowl. But to achieve those goals, he needs a new long-term contract a year before the Cardinals are obligated to give it to him. And actions, and he puts it in bold, actions speak much louder than words in this volatile business. And Kyler remains hopeful that the organization chooses to commit, and he spells it wrong, chooses to commit so that he can continue leading the Cardinals to further success and value for many years to come. And then Kyler Murray's personal, his new personal logo, which he's created his own Tom Brady logo for clothing. Kyler Murray is going to be trouble. It's going to, this is unbelievable to me that you've got an eight, that you got a guy so, I can win for you, but I need a new contract like now. It's distracting me. This guy is going to be a problem. Run. I'd run from Kyler Murray as fast as I could if I was Arizona.
Let's see. A player wants to get a new contract before his other one's up.
When have you ever seen this? Have you ever seen an agent put out a social media missive, a manifesto of his, I really want to win, but I'm distracted because my contract hasn't been picked up?
Yeah, he's got real weirdo vibes to him. I read that.
This is weird as all get out.
I was like, this is weird as hell.
You've not seen this from players. Players don't do this.
He's trying to force their hand to sign them early? Like
what? What's the
deal? You've kind of collapsed both seasons down the stretch the last 2 years. Maybe they want to see another year out of you.
All the reason he wants another contract.
Yeah, but he doesn't put out you don't put out your own little logo and here.
And to misspell a word, that's
oh my
bad.
Gosh.
That's a bad job by the agent.
The organization chooses to commit. And more importantly, though, it's now simply up to the Cardinals to decide to prioritize their rapidly improving 24-year-old, already two-time Pro Bowl quarterback. It's unbelievable to me. And with his little logo on it and everything.
It's weird as hell.
He's crazy, Pat. And I wouldn't want him.
Okay, so talent-wise, yes, would like him. But keep in mind, too, Kyler Murray, I don't know if this has anything to do with it or it's just like a stick up my crawl, but like it always rubbed me the wrong way what he did to the Oakland Athletics. The fact they took him 11th overall in the MLB draft, they wasted a draft pick.
Yeah.
And in good faith, he said, hey, I really like playing football. Can I go back to Oklahoma for a year? I'm coming back.
Correct.
I'm playing with you guys. But I want to go play football. Sure, no problem. You know, he comes into training camp with the Oakland A's and goes through spring training, goes back to Oklahoma, wins the Heisman and all that. I think, actually, did he win the Heisman?
He didn't.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. But he went number one overall. Like, he immediately became the best player in college football, goes number one, and then all of a sudden he tells the Oakland A's, thanks, but no thanks. That always rubbed me the wrong way about him. And to me, this is the second character flaw for Kyler Murray, and they're both big.
It's just a weird story. You can go on social media and you can read it, the entire misspelled missive. And I'm glad he got his big logo on there, though. Now, is anybody in Arizona going today to buy Kyler Murray gear? Kyler Murray's not Tom Brady.
No.
It's his own logo? Here's my own logo for my own gear. Go buy your... Carson Wentz had the audience of one,
yeah.
But it was his... He was doing it for charity for his foundation.
I think he always had AO1 and then named the charity after it. Whatever. Who cares? He didn't have a logo.
JJ Arcega-Whiteside has the umbrella.
It's true. It's like the Arnold Palmer Resort logo.
Yes.
It's just a weird...
This is a really weird story.
It's strange.
So. Hey, the scouting combine gets ready to begin in Indianapolis. How much is information do you believe and how much is misinformation that comes out of these things? Bob, you've covered stuff like this. I mean, I wonder how much is, from this point on, I always think misdirection season begins. That NFL teams will say, man, we really like that Jamie Lynch kid, but we're not going to let anybody know it.
Yeah, sure.
Or sometimes other people figure out who you like.
Yeah, there's so many dynamics to it. One, who's hiding what? Who's overstating something? I always like to talk to the players involved more than the higher-ups because you kind of get a feel. But that being said, I was at an NBA combine one time where there was a mix of like five pretty good shooters, And four of them told me that, my God, this one guy, we can't hold a candle to him as far as shooting goes. And they were talking about Nick Stauskas.
Oh, my gosh.
Swear to God. And one of the guys was Joe Harris.
Really?
So, yeah, I swear.
Like nobody, so, nobody hold, you can't hold a candle to this guy.
He kills us all. And it was to a man they were saying this about Nick Stauskas. Now, you know, we know how that played out and all. So yeah, it's there's just the unknown to me. And we can say it from the outside like, oh, it's a crapshoot. But when you're on the inside and, you know, you get to interview people and see guys up close and stuff, it really is a damn crapshoot. Like, it is such a crapshoot. The Sixers were so excited one year that they had two draft picks, and I think it got them. They thought they were going to get Stauskas and somebody else, and it wound up being like Dario Saric and someone that wasn't going to play for another couple of years. Like, it's just, you just don't know. You know, I wrote a column about Dario Saric when he was coming over here that, I mean, if the city of Philadelphia could have put me on a stick and lit me on fire, it seemed like that's what they wanted to do because I said through my sources that he was going to be an average NBA player. And people coming at me, oh, Sam Hinkie would never do that. Yeah, Sam Hinkie was one of my sources. Like, I, you know, I can say that now because it's just, you just don't know. So that's why, John, if you sit and watch the NFL Combine, I would trust your eyes just about as much as anybody else's.
Well, it's one of the things, too, is that the Combine, too, remember, they get to meet with coaches are there, and they get to meet with, they get to interview players. You get to interview a certain amount of players, I think 30 players. You get to have personal one-on-one interviews with for like 10 minutes or 15 minutes. So you get a little bit of better under the hood, Pat, than you would get just by watching the talent. You get to find out about these guys. Now, this is where some of the embarrassing questions have come from in previous ones that they now do not allow.
Asking Justin Blackmon why his mom was a hooker and his dad was a pimp. That right. that backfired.
It didn't go well.
No, not at all. I put no stock whatsoever into the drills, but the interviews I do.
See, you know, the one thing I have a problem with is that line of questioning. It does matter to me. If I was drafting somebody, it sort of does matter to me. I want to know about your home life.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to phrase it as well.
No, I understand that. No, yeah. I understand that. But I mean, it's the idea. I really do want to know about your home life.
I mean, I'd probably go to other sources for that.
So what do? You go to the high school coach?
Talk to their coaches. Yeah, their AAU coach, their whatever coach. You know, how's the family? Are they supportive? You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe talk to friends. Something like that. I mean, these teams have PIs that will follow people around and dig into their past.
Like, did the Sixers not know about Ben Simmons' entourage? That Ben Simmons was going to be a support system for how many other adults to earn their livings off of him?
Like a lot of NBA players? Well, the Sixers
that's one that you may say, I don't like the entourage. And I don't
his
want
entourage
it.
Is his family.
Yeah. And yeah, but a lot of people might not want that to draft that because family can manipulate you much more than friends can.
Yeah.
Family gets to you and manipulates your time, manipulates your attention.
But your family's, if you're a team, is probably going to get more benefit of the doubt than, you know, a buddy network.
And the Sixers might have said, when you're here, you're family.
That's their slogan. They're stealing it from us.
Yeah.
By the way, the biggest entourage, I've said it many, many times, people get on me about
Kyrie.
It.
Kyrie?
Because when, no, biggest entourage I ever saw.
Vic?
And they would always say with Michael Vick that Michael Vick had a posse.
Oh, Tebow.
His posse. Yeah, yeah. Tim Tebow never traveled. I was in his presence at SEC events, everything. He traveled with 10, 12 people around him.
They were
at all times.
They were actually called the virginity protectors.
That was
part of it. They had to keep all the girls away. So
it was something like
so
I've never seen.
They were protecting his virginity?
Yeah, they'd say, get away, woman.
Wow.
Stay away. Man's a virgin. He's pure.
Wait a minute. We spotted an eight.
They were like human chastity belts almost.
That's my God.
Seriously.
Yeah, wow. There was an eight down this aisle. Go the other way. Take Tim the other way. Hey, in Cooney's Corner, he didn't like how his Twitter feed was drizzled yesterday.
Ooh.
This is creepy.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Blackberry drizzle, like at Wawa?
Yeah, something like that.
There you go.
Karma. I was shocked. The game got over. I grabbed my phone, saw that I had some, you know, people get in touch. And the majority was about Tobias Harris. Is he on a milk carton? What happened to him? Oh, I guess his game's done. Most overpaid, you know, sub in the league. Should he be a six man?
I couldn't believe it. I was just like, all right, it's two games, and the team's averaging 129 points in those two games. Why are you upset about Tobias Harris right now? It could take time for him to figure out exactly what his role is. It could take more than two games for James Harden to say, okay, Tobias, I got Maxey, I've got Embiid. What can I do best for you? How do you like best spot up? It could take for James Harden to go to Doc Rivers and say, hey, we got to get Tobias more involved. Let's call two plays for him this quarter, and then we'll get him out on transition in another one. Whatever it may be, but I literally could not believe, and I said it out loud. Now, I started to think, okay, what kind of debut games did guys have when they came here? Did some guys struggle maybe? So the one we talked about on Friday, biggest debut that we thought of our lifetime for the Sixers, Sean, was probably Moses Malone. Moses Malone in his first two games as a 76er averaged 17 points and shot 10 for 26 from the floor. He won the MVP that season, not only of the regular season, but of the playoffs also. Two games isn't going to define what Tobias Harris is probably here with James Harden in the lineup. Like, maybe you guys disagree, but I'm just kind of like, all right, give it some time. We're talking 129 points a game here, guys.
Well, who would you say had the toughest role integrating themselves into this new look?
Him.
Sixers. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you. He was getting open looks. A lot of his shots weren't dropping. I think they'll eventually drop and he'll be fine. Yeah, I'm not worried really at all. Tobias will be what he is.
He scored 8 points in the last like 3.5 minutes of the game
and
yesterday.
His shot started dropping.
He hit a couple of threes,
yeah.
Got open for a dunk. I think that'll carry over a little bit to the next
quickly
game.
Off him on that dunk, too. It was a nice take by him.
Yeah, he does seem a little hesitant, and he's got to get over that. But if he's taking 12 shots a game, I'm okay with that.
And Harden will make sure he gets going.
Exactly. But I was shocked. Look, is it a talking point? Is it an interest point? Certainly. But that's the first thing you're going to bring up after those two games with James Harden? I was just a little shocked at that.
And I think you're right about that. I just need bigger sample sizes. I refuse to ride the roller coaster of two games, four games. It's one of the reasons why I get frustrated with sports radio and baseball. Because three games, people will be like, they think they've figured something out. I mean, I need to see 10. 12, 15 games before I start to see stuff. With an NBA season, I don't think it has to be that long. But the critique, the hyper critique, or the this guy's not going to get it figured out or something, I never understand.
Yeah.
I trust things will get understood.
Yeah.
Worked out.
You got to give it some time. I mean, it is kind of ridiculous that was the first thing on people's mind. And look, I'm the biggest nitpicker there is. But even I, when I saw that my timeline was getting flooded with that, I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. That being said, Tobias Harris does have some figuring out to do. But when you have IQs like James Harden and Joel Embiid on the floor, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Jamie was excited about Kendrick Perkins, the other beard.
I like Perk a little bit. You know,
I do too.
Yeah, he's entertaining. It could be that I'm watching it through Sixers goggles now at this point because he's very pro Sixers. But he's basically saying, like, this is a modern-day Shaq and Kobe. And it sounds like a hot take.
Two games in, I do think that's a hot take.
Carry the hell on, Jamie.
Yeah,
two games. Right. Like, I mean, what if he...
Well, James Harden's already at a level of a Kobe Bryant, right?
No question.
And
no question.
Embiid is ascending to that type of Shaq level of dominance. So, like, I kind of get what he's saying.
A little more of that. But
yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Sure, but he's playing like that now, sure.
But the one thing he did say was Tobias Harris has to probably accept that he's the fourth option on this team now.
Does he not wouldn't he understand that?
Not as the highest paid player on the team.
I think that's like, Kendrick Perkins told me water's wet.
Not to Tobias Harris.
Yeah, I don't think so to Tobias Harris either. No, there's egos involved.
Yeah, he's the highest paid player on the team. And Tyrese Maxey might benefit more in this new look Sixers than Tobias does. And that's okay. He just has to play his role really well.
Exactly.
And he'll get there.
He'll get there. I'll give you this. Kendrick Perkins is entertaining.
I like him.
Because he lets it fly.
He's entertaining.
He lets it fly.
I don't think he's Dr. James Naismith, but I think he's entertaining.
We can tell by...
Anthony's out on
Cuz,
the perk.
Cuz seems like he's a little out on that.
What was that?
Out on the perk, in on the stack.
I'm in on the Cooney.
There you go.
That's who I'm in on.
Don't say that because Adam's going to send you an email and say, stop loving on Cooney.
Who?
One of our listeners got on me earlier.
I don't care. I love on Cooney all day.
I do too.
Bleep Adam.
Unbelievable.
Because that's how I feel. And he was right. Because I heard him earlier talking about Tobias. It's two games. Allow him to get his rhythm. There are different styles. First of all, the Maxi is it's awesome because of the pace that they play, that Harden and Embiid play at. It's perfect for Maxi because he gets all the runouts. He has all the active.
He had six fast break baskets yesterday.
It's perfect. He's going to get all the runouts. Tobias in the half court is going to have to figure out his way. Now, the two shots he made at the end of the game, I think, will help out a little bit. But it's not about who's the third option, who's the fourth option. It's amazing. Those two together, Embiid and Harden, it's a freaking dream. It's unbelievable. The spacing. Look at Feibel. He's a different player. Because you know why? He's got all kinds of time to size up the shot. He's so athletic that he works so well with Harden slashing to the basket. My God, this is amazing. Title. We're going to be on Broad Street.
Did you see Feibel's face every time he scored a basket? There was like this.
There's a joy.
He looked like the Joker. Like this giant smile.
He's a good athlete. And Harden, man, that dude, he's an amazing passer, man. He's got you watch him drive. Like, it's amazing how he slashes through the lane. Bobby, like, you don't see anything like, his movement is so subtle.
There's an innate sense that great point guards have, and it's when you draw and dish, and you dish at the right time, and you draw them to where you want them to be.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I will tell you, he really. I didn't appreciate him as much. Like, I thought he was a stat guy all day long, right? Stat hog. I used to call him Hassa. Stat hog. He's such a great player. He's such a great facilitator, though. The timing is impeccable. And he found his match in heaven with Embiid.
When he enters the lane, his movement is so tight to the body, too. I think it makes it look like the other people are like molesting him out there in the lane. And he looks like he's under control because he's just got the arms aren't flailing all over the place. He's not.
He's strong, too.
His movement is very tight.
It is tight.
And he's just left-handed. Awesome.
It's all that left-handed thing throw in basketball. It's the truth, man.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That lefty thing has always been that way.
It is. It is one of the things I sent the same text to you that I sent to Shaquille, asking him about with Tobias. How's it going? He goes. Why is Maxie just immediately responding? And Tobias, he goes, Maxie's a sponge. Maxie's at the point of his career that he's a sponge. He's just going to learn. He's Tobias is set in his ways, and Tobias just has to learn a little bit. But it's going to be a little slower adjustment.
Yeah, but his game's completely different.
Much different.
Because he's really a mid-range guy. He's a mid-range scorer. So he's got to figure out his own spacing. Now, the good thing about Tobias, he's got to get catch and shoot down. He's not a natural catch and shoot guy. He's a guy that always has to bounce it. Right? That's in fact, he sometimes hesitates, and he hesitates off the bounce. He has the key to Tobias in this thing is he's got to be direct in his decision making. Go straight up with it or attack it. That's what he's got to do.
Were you dressed for TV this morning or what?
Yeah.
See, there it was. He's dressed for TV because the YouTube folks are in for a treat.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, cuz looking like a
man. I'm in heaven right now.
I'm not
kidding you, Ant. I really got the feeling over this weekend, the type of feeling I had back in 1983.
So did I!
When Moses took the court and you were just waiting, you're like, oh my God, this is really, really good.
Yes.
Yeah. And I haven't had that since.
Me neither.
Simmons and Embiid took the floor, I didn't have it like this.
I wished it. I hoped it.
Yeah.
Now I have it.
So I'm looking at the ESPN stats and information calendar they put out. Father's Day this year would be game 7 of the NBA Finals. Father's Day last year was the beginning of a disaster.
Yeah.
It was a disastrous day, the way it finished. And this year, game 7 of the finals would be on
Father's Day night. They're going to win.
Jamie says he wants it over by then.
Yeah.
He wants Father's Day to just be a party.
That might be a parade day.
I don't know you can have it on Father's Day, maybe the day before. Well, by the way, if they do have a parade, have it on Saturday. If they had a parade, have it on a Saturday.
Oh, you can do a show from a parade? That would be awesome.
But we could. We could still work on Saturday. Everybody's off work. Let everybody be off work. What's the rush to have it on a Tuesday?
I like it better midweek. Everybody takes off the holiday.
Really?
Yeah, I'd like way better.
Saying they're always afraid.
It's like a holiday. It's our own holiday. It's our own holiday. Bleep everybody else.
Hey, remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, Window Nation, and make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. Cuz Radio is going to be extremely subdued today. It's going to be very solemn. You don't want to miss a minute of it. Rolling right into Mike Missinelli. Hang out with us. We are your Sixer station, 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. with the John Kincaid Show. Make it a great Monday, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.